about.
What was that? Did you hear that?
Did I hear what?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
I feel happy of myself.
I feel happy of yourself too.
What, do you got any words of wisdom? What about for all the other kids trying to learn how to ride their bike? Can you say anything to them?
Everybody, I know you can believe in yourself. If you believe in yourself, you will know how to ride a bike. If you don't, you just keep practicing.
Give me some thumbs up.
Thumbs up, everybody!
All right.
For rock and roll!
And now,
why don't you just tell the truth?
Don't sound like.
That's exactly how you sound.
Yeah.
Spot on.
Yeah, it's pretty close.
I don't know where you get that impersonation.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday morning, the 25th.
Oh, you hear that? Come on, you guys.
Uh-oh.
Getting so close now. 5/12 Christmas today. I mean...
Come on, it's the way
5/12, there's no such thing as 5/12.
It is, it's 5/12 Christmas today.
Not when it comes to Christmas, nope. But it's either Christmas or it's not Christmas.
But when you think about it...
Nope.
We're only one short month away from half Christmas. So we're turning the corner. Who's with me?
It hurts.
Oops, wow, I hit the ding.
Sounds like the girl is with me, but that's about it.
Kevin ding, too. So.
Wow. Okay, all right, that's fine.
5/12 Christmas.
Look, I didn't invent the calendar. It's not, I mean, I don't have anything to do with
right,
how
but
far away.
Nobody celebrates 5/12 Christmas. That's just not a thing.
Well, you're just late to the party then. I don't know if you've noticed how big half Christmas has become. Half Christmas
I haven't noticed that.
Is one of the most celebrated days on the calendar now.
Is it?
It's this
one
close.
Of the most celebrated on the calendar. Is
Bean,
it really?
I think that might be a stretch.
It is this
is
close
it?
To being a national holiday.
Right.
So I'm just saying.
Sure.
It's only a matter of time.
So it's above,
time.
Like, say, 4th of July, would you say?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
Half Christmas is bigger. More people celebrate that than 4th of July.
Certainly.
Bean, you are dumb,
Bean,
sir.
You sound crazy.
And then 5/12 Christmas, right behind it. Coming up fast. Sing it if you know it.
Nope.
It's just a beautiful thing. Wait, here's my favorite part.
No! No! No!
All right, you don't know, man.
Yeah, I do know.
No Christmas
I do know
spirit
that that's
for you.
Right.
All right, Grinch.
You know why? It's the 25th of May.
Well, that's right. That's
it's
what I'm
May saying. 25th.
That's my point exactly. Thank you.
I'm confused. I don't know what he means now.
Yeah,
here's
means
a...
12th thing.
5/12. Here's a happy story to get us started.
5/12 thing.
Here's a Shetland sheepdog named Ollie. He has been having a bad time of it this past week or so. He got very sick. He was on a camping trip with his family in eastern Oregon and became very, very ill. He became increasingly lethargic. He was very weak. Eventually, he found it very difficult to walk. Oh. He would only eat in very small amounts when he was hand-fed. Couldn't stand at some point. He could not go to the bathroom. And he was 10, and the owner said, well, looks like the end of the road for Ollie. So he took him in to the vet, by the way. More than one veterinarian conducted a full range of tests and couldn't find anything wrong with him. But he just kept getting worse and worse to the point where they realized the animal was not in a good place and it was time to put him down. So they made that decision and they take him in to the Dove Lewis Animal Clinic in Portland. And right before Dr. Adam Stone, is scheduled to put the dog to sleep, his intern comforts Ollie by scratching him behind the ears. It's going to be okay, boy. And then she felt a lump on his skin that upon further investigation turned out to be a tick.
Oh.
It was a tick that was very bloated and had obviously been there for a while, engorged with blood. You know what that means, right, Allie?
Wait, how many different doctors did you say they took him to?
They went to three different doctors to look over this dog. And, you know, he's a, what did I say he was? He's a sheepdog, so he's a very hairy dog. And for whatever reason, they just missed this tick that was on his skin. You know, they looked in his eyes, and I assume, and in his mouth, and they probably took, you know, took blood and urine and fecal samples and everything like that. And all the tests came back, and there wasn't anything to explain why he was so, so sick. Well, it turned out that he was experiencing a rare case of tick paralysis, which I've never heard of before, by the way. They wanted to make certain that Ali had no other ticks hiding on his body, so they shaved him completely. So now he, of course, is the laughingstock of everyone in the neighborhood. And hours later...
All the other dogs are pointing.
Hours later, Ali stood up and started walking again, and within 3 days was completely 100% back to his normal self. Eating, drinking, running, playing, having the time of his life. It's just a crazy, lucky circumstance that that intern was just rubbing his head right before they administered the lethal dose to put Ali down and came across that tick. Isn't that something else?
Almost put him down.
Comforting interns. That's
How
really
terrible
sweet.
Would that feel if you went, it was he wasn't sick.
By the way, we found this tick after.
Hey, sorry about that whole putting him down thing.
I wonder if they ever would have found it. I mean, they certainly would not have been continuing to investigate. I don't think. At that point. It's not like they would do a necropsy on Ali. So, how happy is that? What great news is that? That Ali is back and doing great.
Yeah, but now he's all shaved.
Well, he does look ridiculous.
He's the laughing stock of the neighborhood.
He looks like a lion now, to tell you the truth. But anyway, so there you go. Happy story.
All right. So we got 5/12 Christmas. That's a negative. And then we come back with Ollie, who almost died, but okay.
So
we're happy
now. Two great things in a row.
Right, wrong. Okay. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bicho, shall we?
This is worth every penny.
Okay. It's not going to be that good a show, ma'am.
I still love her.
Really?
Yep.
Love. All right. Shut up, lady.
Love.
Oh, so good. Such joy.
Enough.
Stop.
Please do. Stop.
Okay.
She says she can't stop me.
Okay. She sounds like she's done.
Telling you, she reminds me of the little Hot Cheetos kid. She reminds me of that little kid and how much joy he brought everybody.
Oh, so much.
All right, let's talk about, did I already say?
You did.
Today on the program, we have Bill Hader talking about Angry Birds. We're going to take calls from people who have names that nobody has ever heard of. This seems to be a thing where somebody will tell you their name and you go, okay, not only is it a rare name, but I've never heard of anybody called that.
Yeah.
And parents do that all the time. Why?
Yeah, they've got to stop it.
Parents got to stop it. We have a brand new internet roundup on the program today, and we have a guest by the name of Doug Kriegel.
Yay!
Really? Yes.
Legendary television reporter for Channel 4 for how many years? Decades, right?
Yeah.
Decades.
And he used to always do these interviews, and we started making fun of him, and we started paying tribute to him.
Yes.
And Ralph started doing the voice, and he's the voice that maybe you've heard that he could never catch his breath. That's him. And he used to, for decades, go out on the street when it was raining and ask people how are they going to stay dry.
Yeah.
That was his beat. That's what he did.
A situation.
Thank you, Doug.
Right. So apparently he's running for office, and he wants to come on the show for real.
The real Doug Kriegel.
Yes.
Really him.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think.
I believe that's been established.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think asked and answered.
Okay.
Love it. And I'm voting for Doug, too.
You don't even know what he's running for, and you
don't care.
Exactly. And we've got your tickets for K-Rock Festival Flyaway 2016, destination number one, which is the Life is Beautiful Festival in Las Vegas. Your chance
to
win is coming up.
I just want to make sure you don't gloss over the biggest thing that's happening on today's program.
5/12 Christmas?
No. Legendary Dodger Steve Garvey on the program.
Steve Garvey, yes.
Yay!
Come on.
Steve Garvey.
Very exciting.
Steve Garvey.
That's coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Hey, that looks like Ralph Garman.
What?
I love him. Hey, Mr. Garman.
Hey, don't look him in the eyes.
Not him.
No, don't look him in the eyes.
Just looks like him.
He's a dick.
Yeah.
It's time for our first look at the show.
Andy Devine's dad
here on a Wednesday. You guys do look a lot alike.
Adam Devine. Andy?
Adam. I think it's Adam.
Yeah.
I think so, too. And you used to get a lot of, what's his face? John Henson.
John
too,
Henson,
right?
And I both used to get each other.
Right.
And John's a friend, so we commiserate sometimes. He goes, yeah, a guy came up to me the other day, said how much he loved my work. I said, thank you so much. He goes, yeah, Joe Schmo Show is one of my favorite shows. And I was like, please. God, just, you should have seen me during the soup years. So, speaking of things where you can see me, the real me, not this guy who looks like me, Friday night at the Improv on Melrose, 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I are doing Hollywood Babylon once again. It's going to be our last one for a while, so if you want to check out Babylon, this should be the show you come to see. It's happening at the Improv on Melrose, 10 p.m. on Friday night. If you'd like to go, you can go to improv.com to get all your details and your tickets.
No!
We have a pretty good time.
We don't want to be part of that, do we? No, we don't.
Alex will be there.
I don't think
wearing a tinfoil hat. Everyone enjoy The Flash season finale?
Yes.
Everybody have a good time with that?
Yes.
I'm glad. I'm glad you all did. I'm glad you all enjoyed yourselves.
Why do I feel like that's a setup for some bad news?
Well, it turns out, for some reason, there was some glitch. Some glitch. And DirecTV opted not to DVR the episode for a tremendous number of people.
Oh, no.
Across the Southland and these United States of ours. So last night on Twitter, it was an explosion of complaints of people saying, well, that's odd. It's never opted out on recording it until last night. Well, hope it wasn't an important episode.
No, there's nothing real big that happened.
So I settled down last night around 9:30 after I got some work done. And I said, oh, God, I'm got a chance to see the season finale. Nope. Nope.
Ralph, do you know if it was just that show or were they having problems with just recording
just
anything?
That show.
That's crazy. Yeah. I wonder what would cause something like that.
I can't imagine. But now I have to go back in time and murder the guy who created DirecTV. So
yeah, you do.
We all have our cross to bear. I have to get into the Speed Force and start burning some bitches to the ground.
I wonder if that's because I had a problem at the beginning of the show where my satellite was out. So I wonder if that was the same issue. I thought it was my stuff, so I went around, reset stuff, went up on the roof, checking the satellite, came back down.
You did not.
I did. And like at 15 after, I got it working again and taped it. But is it possible that just it wasn't?
You taped it what?
You, from that
manually,
point on.
At that point, you were watching the show live and you hit record?
Yeah.
Now, this is people who had it set up in their series managers.
I have that too, but it wasn't. Yeah, so it must have been something different.
Yeah.
Wow. That's weird.
So
it was good, you guys.
I'm glad. I'm glad people enjoyed it.
Ruff, do we have we got any friends over at the CW who can maybe send over a copy?
Well, it's on Hulu today. I'll be able to check it out on Hulu. But it's just it's pleasure tonight. I was just looking for that settled in. I was had my booze going. I was like, I'm gonna watch a little television before I hit the bed, and then it's just me and my booze, which isn't a bad thing. Don't get me wrong, but
Man in the Mask found out.
Yeah, I heard. Trust me, I heard everything.
Well.
Unavoidable, but I'm not a big spoiler person. It doesn't bother me.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to seeing the episode regardless. But I'm more upset about not having seen the episode.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I was looking forward to it all week long, but apparently they're going to rerun it on Thursday.
Okay.
Night the CW is.
Why would that
and
happen?
And I checked my manager. And, we're recording it for you on Thursday. Well, how about Tuesday?
And I'm sad for you.
I didn't feel bad, though, because one of the people affected was a friend of mine who's an editor over at DC Comics. He didn't get to watch
the show. Is that right?
So I said, well, if they're burning those guys, then I guess it's okay for me, too.
Yeah, it was just the finale. That's all. I mean, it's not a big episode, just the finale.
It wasn't an important episode. I hope nothing important happens.
No, nothing big.
All right. Speaking of important happenings, this is pretty cool. Bill Cosby will go to trial.
Yay!
On aggravated sexual assault charges.
Excellent.
That was a decision of Judge Elizabeth McHugh, who told Cosby, based on the evidence, I'm going to hold you on charges. Good luck.
Guilty. It's been a long time since there's been this is a criminal trial we're talking about, Russ?
It is, sir.
A criminal trial where we have been so convinced of the defendant's guilt before the trial begins.
Yeah, no kidding.
Prosecutors outlined their case thusly. It's all about former Temple University employee Andrea Costand, who went to Cosby's house in 2004. He gave her three pills that, in her words, made her dizzy, blurry-eyed, nauseated, left her legs feeling like jelly.
according to her statement to police in 2005. And that's when, she said, Cosby touched her sexually without her consent while her body was basically frozen. Cosby testified, said the encounter was consensual. So, we're going to let a court decide this, but this is the first time we've had an instance that's fallen within the statute of limitations that could actually be prosecuted. Initially, DA opted not to prosecute, but there was a new sheriff in town, and he said he ran on a platform of, I will pursue these charges against Mr. Cosby if I'm elected. So he's true to his word, and now there's no current date on when the trial will begin, but it looks like Cosby will have to face his accuser in court.
I wonder what evidence there is in that trial, if any, beyond he said, she said.
Apparently they found a pudding pop in her pants.
Okay, all right. Something.
I don't think that's pretty damning.
I don't think that happened.
They had to dust the pop for prints.
I don't think that happened.
I love pudding in the panties.
I mean, it helps a lot that she went to police.
It did, yes, you
know,
enormously.
As opposed to coming out 10 years later and saying, oh, no, that happened to me too. You know.
They've got access now to all these depositions that he's given in some of these civil cases where he admits to using Quaaludes to get young women to sleep with him, about sexual interaction with 17, 18, 19-year-old girls, testifying witnesses who said they'd sent multiple models for hire to Cosby's dressing rooms on one of his sitcoms. So there's a lot of evidence present that would indicate that this at least should go to trial. I think that's what the judge decided, that, look, there's enough preponderance of evidence to say something may be going on here and it's worth investigating.
Well, I hope he goes to jail and he's OJ's roommate.
Oh, no, you didn't.
That'd be the best.
That would be a great show.
That would be.
OJ and the Cause. Come on. Who wouldn't tune into that?
I would never miss an episode.
Just a security camera in the corner of the cell.
Yep.
Be good times. Today's celebrity birthdays. Roman Reigns from the WWE celebrates his 31st birthday.
You excited,
today.
Allie?
Ugh. Allie loves him.
Ugh. I'm taking she doesn't.
Doesn't? No.
Cillian Murphy?
Killian.
Killian Murphy is 40 years old today.
I love him.
Jamie Kennedy's 46 years old today. Octavia Spencer is also 46. Anne Heche turns 47. Mike Myers is 53. And Ian McKellen celebrates his 77th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We got Dodger great Steve Garvey on the program today. Also, actor Bill Hader is going to be joining us. And yet more tickets for you to join us in Las Vegas for Life is Beautiful. Is that the one you go to, Kevin? That's not the
it
one
It is not,
to.
No. EDC yeah. is what I go to, yeah.
This is a great lineup with Mumford & Sons and so much more, though, and the Shins and a bunch of other great bands. Your chance to win at 9 o'clock again this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. But first, how about another edition of Bean Makes Us Guess?
Bean makes us guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
Bean makes us guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Bean is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just wanna tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for Bean Makes Us Guess.
Yes.
I'd like to again suggest those sound bites don't really make any sense.
We all like
Bean
it.
Makes us guess. have you guys been paying attention to the NBA playoffs at all?
A little, yes.
A little.
None.
The Golden State Warriors, the team of destiny, the team with the best record in the history of professional basketball, may not make the finals this year. They are down 3-1 to the suddenly surging Oklahoma Thunder. It's been pretty remarkable. Everybody just assumed they were just going to, you know, just whip on through and continue and win another championship.
Were they going to whip it real good?
They were whipping real good, yes. People are still talking about what happened Sunday night in the game, though, and I'm sure you guys at least saw this highlight on SportsCenter. Draymond Green from the Golden State Warriors kicked a Thunder player, Steven Adams, in the groin.
Yeah.
And did not get suspended for it. He was fined $25,000, but he did not get suspended for it, which a lot of people are very upset about. But the reason I bring it up and the reason I think this is going to be a really fun Bean Makes This Guess is because television anchors, reporters, news people have to talk about the incident on the news. And many of them are very uncomfortable as to what to call Mr. Adams' groin region. So ESPN put together a supercut of all of the different euphemisms for the groin that have been used on TV in the first 24 hours after the incident happened on Saturday night. And I thought it would be a fun Bean Makes This Guess to go around the room and see if you guys can predict which euphemisms for the groin were used on TV to talk about the incident. You got me?
Sort of.
Yes.
Are you going to play a clip or something?
I'll play a clip at the end, but okay. I have transcribed it so I know all the ones that are mentioned. I mean, there's dozens of them of ways that people did not want to say. Well, they didn't want to say penis, for starters. For instance, nobody said penis, all right?
So are 10 of them? Are we guessing 10 or just trying to get one that's on the list?
Just see who can get the most that are on the list.
Okay.
So let's start with you, Kevin. Historically, you get to go first. What, other than groin, and I already gave you penis is not on the list, what else did they use to describe the region that Stephen Adams got hit?
Crotch rocket.
I'm sorry.
Surprisingly,
crotch, not on the list.
Not even crotch?
Wow.
Not even crotch, and I was so surprised by that.
Hmm.
This list is stupid. I'm out.
Pelvis.
No pelvis. Good guess, though. Allie McKay.
Junk.
Oh, junk. That was mine.
Yes, junk is on the list. Absolutely. You get a point. Well done.
Sucks.
You'll be okay, Kevin.
Carax, Kevin?
I'm going to go with Wang.
I'm sorry. There is no Wang, although I would have loved to have seen that newscast. That's another good guess.
Nads. Nards.
Nards it is. Well done. Yeah, those are pretty interchangeable. Yes, Nards is on the list. Ralph is on the board.
Boys.
No boys.
Dong.
Yes. I give it to you because ding-ding is on the list.
Oh,
so
yeah,
I'm going to Ding Ding is on the list, so I will give you Dong, Kevin.
You gave me that credit, and I'm telling you that's wrong.
Ralph Garvin?
Family Jewels.
Yes, Family Jewels was a very popular response.
Sure.
Well done, sir. All right, Allie McKay.
Pork and beans.
No pork and beans.
Come on.
What's wrong with these people?
That's very impressive, though. I hadn't even thought of pork and beans.
Well.
Lenny Kravitz.
As a euphemism for groin, right. Is Lenny Kravitz on the list? No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Beanbag. Oh, they lost out. They missed out if they didn't use beanbag.
What could they have used if all of these are buzzed?
There's
crazy.
There's some good ones, by the way. Some good ones still out there waiting for you.
Waiting for us.
Yeah, they're waiting for you. Lurking in the bushes.
Again, if you're just joining us, we're playing B-Mix's Guest. Stephen Adams was kicked in the groin during the game. How did newscasters describe that region of his body? We've got a supercut that we'll play at the end here.
Downstairs mix-up.
Downstairs is on the list. I will give you that. Yes,
yes.
Downstairs.
Wow.
Very well done.
Mix-up. Johnson.
No. Good one, though, Kevin.
Yeah.
Apparently not. You buzzed it.
Well, I would have used it. They didn't.
Testes.
No testes, no testicles. I think that, you know, they probably thought like penis, that's a little too graphic, maybe. A little too medical. Alan McKay?
Wiener.
No wiener.
Oh. They won't say penis, but they'll say wiener?
No.
Although I desperately need that soundbite, Chip, if you wouldn't mind.
Oh, she's already working on it.
All right, let's go around now. One more time, you guys.
Big Ed and the Twins.
No?
Boy. Basket.
Is there basket? No, I'm sorry. Allie McKay, the final guess.
Wee-wee.
There's no wee-wee, I'm sorry to say.
It wasn't a kindergarten basketball game. So
I figure there's, I don't know.
What is the score, Miss Allie McKay?
Kevin 1, Ralph 2, Allie 2.
Oh, so we got
all tied up.
We got a tie. Some of the ones, I'll play the clip for you here, but some of the ones that I was surprised, no one came up with private parts, by the way.
Oh.
Nether region.
Sure.
Ralph, one of your favorites, Twigs and Berries, is going to be on the list.
There's some smarmy sportscasters out there.
Below the belt, let's hear the supercut of how this injury was described.
Over the last 24 hours, we have been amazed at the amount of expressions used to describe getting hit in one's groin.
We're going to start today with one grown man kicking another grown man in the shorts. Kicking Stephen Adams in the groin and the kick to the groin. They're below the belt.
Below the belt?
Can't keep kicking somebody
in, you know, in their private areas.
Steven Adams, man region.
I'm not going to try to kick a guy where he can't really kick him.
In the family jewels.
Family jewels.
Family jewels.
Kick to the family jewels.
The kick downtown business.
Yeah, the downtown business.
Let's say the New Zealanders, Kiwis.
Kiwis. The happiest of happy places. Downstairs.
Between the legs.
The private part.
Kick to the nards.
Kick him somewhere.
Between the legs.
To the ding ding.
Tell it to Steven Adams' balls.
Kick a dude in that area.
Get kicked in the junk.
The blatant kick to the twig and berries.
The kick in the thunder down under.
Thunder down under.
Lower region.
The kick felt across Oklahoma.
He's in a place where you don't want to be kicked.
Kick him into privates.
Where the sun don't shine.
In a sensitive area. In a sensitive area.
Private part.
Below the belt.
In the lower section.
Nether region.
Straight to the manhood.
I could have kicked him in the knee with another tip.
Yeah, I thought it would
kick him in the knee. You
kick him in the knee.
Well done, you guys. This has been B-Mix's Guess.
B-Mix's Guess, yeah.
Thanks so much for tuning into the Kevin and Bean Show. It's kind of weird that Justin Bieber professionally is at the biggest point of his entire career. He's had nothing but number one singles over the past few months. Selling more records than ever before. Sold out concert tour. Yet doesn't he seem to be miserable?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that makes me happy.
This is a guy whose career was doing great at first, and then he had a little bit of a slump in the middle, and now he is back and bigger than ever, but he is falling apart. He keeps talking about how drained he is, how unhappy he is. Remember, he's not going to take photos anymore with people. He says he feels like a zoo animal.
He's just hanging out in trees.
Hanging out in trees, walking around Boston barefoot. And what's this new thing after the Billboard Music Awards the other day?
Well, he won a couple of Billboard Music Awards, and he performed, and by performed, I mean lip-synced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then afterwards, he said, I don't know about these award shows. No disrespect to anybody or any of the shows or any of the people running it. Nothing but love for you guys and your support. But I don't feel good when I'm there, not after. A lot of people in the audience there, they only seem to be worried about how much camera time they're going to get.
So they're not there for the right reasons?
Right. Or who they can network with. It just makes him feel hollow.
Wow.
Well, I don't know if there's anything we can do for him, but we asked producer Dave, can you line up Justin Bieber back on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show? And I believe we've got him, and he joins us now back on K-Rock. Hey, Justin.
Hey.
Oh,
Justin.
Buddy, what's going on?
Life is hard, eh?
Well, it's...
What's with all these awards, bro?
Well, I mean...
Why do keep people giving me all these awards?
How is this a negative? How does this make life hard?
It's all fake, yo.
But people like your music, and they're rewarding you for that. That's
it's
what you
fake.
Want.
It's all hollow and fake, yo.
But don't you want people to hear and enjoy your music?
Yeah, but not, like, talk to me, eh? Or look at me, eh? Or take photos with me, eh? Or give me awards, eh?
That kind of comes with it, though.
I just want to drink scissor, babe.
Well, I certainly am with you on that.
Right?
So
that's swaggy, yo.
Why don't you just decline the invitation when they say, hey, come be on our show? Why don't you just say, no, I don't want to.
I can't, eh?
Why?
Because of the man, yo.
Who's the man?
The man?
Yo.
Carrot Top.
What? Not who I was expecting.
No, not at all.
What are you talking about?
Carrot Top runs showbiz, eh?
What?
Carrot Top?
Yeah. Where?
Carrot Top the prop comic?
Yeah, eh?
No.
He's huge. Have you seen his arms?
He is jacked.
He's jacked. He's super jacked. But
don't displease him. You will pay dearly, yo.
But isn't he just... doing his stand-up in Las Vegas and leaving the rest of the world alone, pretty
That's
much?
That's what he
point?
Wants you to think, yo. But he makes us do things.
He makes you? Did he make you perform on this show?
Yeah. I said, I want to sing. He said, no, you lip-sync, eh? And I was like, okay, that seems kind of fake, yo. And he's like, yo, that's crazy town, eh? Yo, swaggy.
That's a quote, is it, Justin?
More or less, eh?
So
it's all fake. It's all fake, like this fake radio show you guys do. Oh, let's pretend to talk to Justin Bieber, eh? There's nobody listening. I know. You're fake, yo. Hollow. Well, fakey, yo. Hollow.
But wait, aren't
you're Follow. You're Yoko.
But aren't... What? That doesn't... Aren't you Justin Bieber?
What, eh? Yes, eh?
Okay, then we're talking to Justin Bieber, and I
or
guarantee...
Or are you? Or are you just trying to get more screen time, yo? I know how you work. Hollow, fake, yo.
We don't really have screen time
right?
on the radio.
Exactly. Carrot Top.
Okay.
So are you telling us that Carrot Top runs all of show business?
Yes, eh? And he stole my monkey.
What?
You left your monkey in...
Germany.
That is what he wants you to think, yo.
That's where the monkey was.
Oh, I am so high, Swaggy.
What? Is Carrot Top to blame for canceling Agent Carter?
Yo.
Yes.
Is that a yes?
Yeah, I can't say.
Is he there with you? See. Okay, all right.
I think he's there with me. It's either that or I'm looking at a statue of Ronald McDonald at my hotel window.
Oh. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin Bean Show.
Wow, that was late.
A little late.
Sorry.
Just right. A little.
I got to start coming to the meetings.
You go.
Okay. Hey,
it's
Dave King of Mexico. It's 6:37.
Hey, good to see you.
Hey!
Take two.
Time out.
Okay.
Are we good?
We're good.
Bean, you're good?
I'm good.
All right, time in.
Kevin and Bean Show, 6:37. Dave, the King of Mexico, is here because he helps us put together the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Yo, K-Rock listeners around the world, it is time for the Internet Roundup, so tell all the boys and girls. We've got funny and sexy, even music too. We've got all the greatest videos, and they're mostly on YouTube. Click your mouse in the air like you don't care. You could watch these videos all up in your underwear. Internet, come on baby, watch some. And now it's time for the Internet Roundup. Yeah!
We can't highlight all of them on the radio, unfortunately. Some of them are better visuals than they are audio, including Karen Harding, who tries to sing the national anthem at the FA Cup, which is a huge, huge deal in England, and she can't hear anything. So the music comes on, the crowd starts singing, the players start singing, the camera's on her face, and she's just smiling.
For a long time.
For a long time. It's so good. Spinning hoverboard fail is also good. We don't have time to highlight that, but it's little kids who turn around in circles. And then
Kevin, why don't you have a hoverboard yet?
That is a good question.
Get through this.
Well, maybe because they catch on fire and they blow up.
I love fire. Yeah, that's I love everything about this.
Let's
those
get
are
you
all positives for Kevin. We do have the Furious 7 trailer recut as the Little Rascals. So you're hearing... The Furious Seven, but you're seeing the Little Rascals.
Looks like the sins of London have followed us home.
We're being hunted.
I'm going with you.
One last ride.
That is brilliantly done, by the way.
It is really well done, yeah. This kid has a father who has a bit of an anger issue. So he tortures him, and this guy puts a bumper sticker on the back of his car that says, "Honk if you're horny." Then he gets in the car with his dad, and his dad cannot figure out why everybody seems to be honking at him.
Well, I suppose I'll cut him off as well, have I? Now he's waving to me. He's a lunatic. He was 3 kilometers behind me.
I worry for his dad. He's going to have a heart attack.
He sure is. Here's a weatherman who is looking at his prompter, and he sees a giant spider. And the noise he makes...
The national champion.
God, jeez Louise. Why did that just happen?
I'm always fascinated by people who just lose it when they see a spider.
I am too. Because you know what? That spider is not going to jump 10 feet, attack, and
you
kill
don't
you,
know
sir.
That. You
it
don't
was a giant spider, though. Did you see the size of it?
No, I didn't. That wasn't that big. Here's a girl calling her boyfriend, and apparently they broke it up, and she's very unhappy. And the video is special because they keep showing a wail every time you hear her cry. She has maybe the most bizarre cry ever. So this is a message that she left on his machine.
I love you, and I miss you. I really want you to call me back.
I think that's crying, right?
Like, I think so too.
Yeah. Game of Thrones is a big thing, and of course on Funny or Die they've got Gay of Thrones with a review of this week's show.
And that last scene with the White Walkers was so lazy because it was a complete ripoff of Toto's Africa. I bless the rains down in Ash. It's literally the most obvious thing in the world. It's Toto's Africa, word for word.
If you want this haircut, you're going to have to settle down.
She was right, by the way.
She was right, yeah.
Hold the door.
Elders react to Beyonce. They've done a bunch of these different ones where they put old people in headphones and then they listen to Beyonce music.
What's up?
Guess some people consider it to be music. I just consider it to be a lot of jabber.
Try not to hurt yourself.
Beyonce, baby, go pound it. Tell him.
What?
Get rid of that Jay-Z rat. She's too good for him.
Right?
I'm with him.
I love these old people so much.
How could you have that strong of an opinion?
Oh, you didn't
over
see
a
Lemonade.
That's bizarre.
Yeah.
Honest Trailers takes on X-Men the Animated Series.
Prepare for a series that's about so much more than fighting supervillains. It's also about fighting prejudice.
No more mutants!
As racists and bigots of all stripes are defeated by a stereotypical Southerner.
Lalandra's out cold and a leftover hush puppy.
Stereotypical Cajun.
There's always more gators in the biome.
Because nothing defeats stereotypes like a different, more powerful stereotype.
The greatest goddamn cartoon ever.
Really? The X-Men of the 90s. The animated X-Men of the
90s. Yes. You should see Dave's face. He is seriously angry about this, which is odd.
It is.
Here's a fake R-rated trailer for Angry Birds, the Not Safe for Work edition, and it's the actual actors that do the voices in the original.
So I play Chuck. He does everything at a million miles per hour.
Shut the f*** up!
Guy, kids are going to love it. Grandparents are going to love it. Everybody's just supposed to forget that you were an asshole.
I'm suck my
That's a very different movie than the one you're taking your kids to this weekend.
I would see that. Jimmy Kimmel does The Baby Bachelorette.
So good.
So there's like a little four-year-old girl and a little four-year-old boy is getting out of the limo. It's strong.
Jackson is super cute. We got out of the limo and it's like, whoa. Tell me. Hi, I prefer blonde, but first I'm everything.
Yeah, you got to start them young on their road to finding true love.
They're so cute. And yesterday we talked about the Chewbacca mom. A lot. And this is one where Chewbacca mom actually takes James Corden to work. And the guy in the back seat is none other than J.J. Abrams. So he's giving her a little bit of advice.
Can I give you one director's note?
Yeah, do you mind?
It's less like this. And it's more like this.
Okay.
Has her life peaked?
I'm sure it's at a very high point.
Bye-bye with the Chewbacca mask on.
And then it's not real if you don't songify this. So here's Happy Chewbacca Mask Songified.
Now I'm going to let Chewbacca talk.
Dave really thinks that sounds like
he
Chewbacca.
Really does.
He sure does.
We weren't singing along to it.
It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup at krock.com or kevinandbean.com.
It's the Internet Roundup.
Oh! Hello. 106.7 KROQ is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:53.
Very excited. We're going to be chatting with broadcast legend Doug Kriegel coming up next half hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I feel bad all the times you guys made fun of him. That is...
it was a tribute.
I'm going to have to apologize.
It was more
to
of a
him.
Tribute to him.
Just being associated with you guys when you used to make all that fun of him when we did all those things.
I want to have a Doug off.
You're awful.
A Doug off
right?
is a great
right?
idea.
Yeah. Bean was always doing that voice, remember? And always
I
make fun
was,
of him and stuff.
I believe that was you, oh, Mr. Garvin. I think I'm pretty sure it was you.
I apologize, Doug Kriegel, if you're listening, for all those times Bean did your voice and made fun of you. It was cruel. And Bean is, that's just who he is. And imagine us, how we feel working with him.
Doug emailed us yesterday and said, I've enjoyed the Doug Kriegel in quote interviews throughout the years.
You like Doug Krieger when we made fun of him, that guy, but not when we made fun of Doug Krieger.
Now, is Doug being a politician and just saying the right thing, or do you think he legitimately enjoyed hearing us do him on our show?
Well, we didn't talk to him yet.
Okay.
As no, he's just, scheduled for the next.
No, I'm just wondering what
so
you guys think. Like, what's
we
your
can
read
ask
on
him.
That? Okay. All right.
You know what I think? I think we're having Doug Kriegel on later. Later in the hour. I think that's going to happen.
All right. We'll talk to Mr. Kriegel. That's coming up. First, the Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. What's going on?
Speaking of show business, Kevin Smith and I, our take on showbiz Hollywood Babylon is happening Friday night at the Improv on Melrose, taking the stage once again. It's been a couple weeks. It's going to be a couple weeks after this one until we do another. We're going to go on the road and do some shows in Boston and Philly and stuff. So if you want to see us here in Los Angeles at the Improv on Melrose, come on out Friday night, 10 p.m. You can go to improv.com to get your tickets.
You're monsters. Well, you're trash. You're parasites. You're scum. We don't go with anything you tell us anymore.
Well, that may be true, but we're all just people.
That's true, too.
That's tough to argue. Look at it. Congratulations to Allison Porter. You remember Curly Sue?
She was your lady that you kind of rediscovered on The Voice this season.
She came on and did an audition of The Voice that blew everybody away. And I was like, she looks familiar. Who is that girl? And it turns out she was little Curly Sue from that movie Curly Sue all those years ago. She sang Blue Bayou and kind of blew everybody away in her audition. She was the big winner of The Voice.
No kidding.
Last night, she actually won the whole deal. So she got the coveted mirror ball trophy or whatever they give out for The Voice.
I think that's Dancing with the Stars.
Whatever.
Whatever they win.
She was with Team Christina. Oh, yeah. Right?
How's that for a second chance at stardom, by the way? That's pretty cool.
Yes, it is.
That is pretty cool.
No, I mean, to be successful in two different careers that many years apart, that's a great story.
In a word, astounding.
You know what's cool, though? Like, so many years after she was a star, to have a second chance. I think that's really cool.
That is pretty cool.
That's an interesting point.
Yeah.
Wow. It's got the hot take.
I'm sorry for the realness.
I'm sorry for the realness. Sad news. If you, like me, were a huge fan of the Peter Sellers Pink Panther films over the years. Sorry to hear that Bert Kwok has passed away. You may not know the name, but you probably remember his role as Inspector Clouseau's manservant, Keto.
Oh, Keto? Yeah. Keto, where are you, Keto? It's not the time for this, Keto.
And he'd jump out. Clouseau hired him to keep him sharp at all times. So his mandate was attack me at every possible opportunity to make
don't
sure.
Don't want to know when it's coming.
I don't want to know when it's coming. Surprise attack me so I can stay alert at all times. And in seven films, Keita would jump out at him and attack him. And some of the funniest slapstick you've ever seen between those two. He has passed away at the age of 85. Also appeared in three James Bond films.
Oh, wow.
Including Goldfinger and You Only Live Twice. And he was on a bunch of British TV as well, Doctor Who and the Avengers. So, sad.
That guy was on James Bond movies, if I remember correctly.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Did you guys know that?
No.
85 years old, he passed away. Also passed away is a woman named Jean Parr. You may not know her name, but she was a reporter, TV personality. She covered the Republican National Convention in 1967. She had her own talk show in 1978. I did not know this, but she is Chris Noth's mom.
Oh.
From Sex and the City and Law and Order. TV personality in her own right. One of the first female correspondents for CBS. She passed away last Monday at the age of 92. So, people are dying.
That's the takeaway?
That's the news. You want the weather? My favorite story of the day is the fact that Bill Cosby will have to appear in court and face charges of aggravated sexual assault.
He is a narcissistic, power-mad Satanist, in my view.
Well, that may all be true. We're going to have to wait and see. A judge yesterday named Elizabeth McHugh said, based on the evidence, I'm going to hold you on charges to Mr. Cosby.
This would be so good.
Then she wished him good luck before adjourning, which I thought was odd.
Did she?
Yeah.
Big fan of Fat Albert.
She whispered. The DA is going to prosecute him on these charges based on the accounts of a former Temple University employee named Andrea Costand, who claims that Cosby drugged her and took advantage of her back in 2004. So we'll have to wait and see how it all shakes out.
Do you know, Ralph, what possible charges or punishment he will face if he is convicted?
Yes, he's got three charges of aggravated sexual assault. Each charge carries a sentence of 5 to 10 years in prison.
Oh, nice.
So if he is prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, he could serve 30 years in prison if found guilty on all three charges.
Are you guys like me? You'd be happy with him dying in prison?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be okay with
absolutely.
That.
I would. Absolutely. I'd like for his wife to get a little something, too.
to get in trouble because
yeah,
she didn't.
I think she's been complicit through this whole thing.
Mm, I think you're right.
Problem.
What should we do to her?
Go to jail with him. No.
No, probably.
I don't think they do.
I didn't know how
I don't
works.
Think they have couples jail.
I don't know how it works.
I think you're thinking of Club Med or
sandals.
You're thinking of sandals. The resort where you get the massage together. That's all inclusive.
Wait, that's not prison?
I don't believe
that
it is.
Oh, okay.
I don't know much about the penal system, but I believe that's not how it works.
Yeah.
Stop it. Today's celebrity birthdays. Roman Reigns, who we found out this morning, is Ali's favorite wrestler.
Oh, she loves him favorite so wrestler. Much.
WWE Roman Reigns, 31
not
years
a fan.
Old today.
Not a champion.
Cillian Murphy is 40 years old today. He's a very talented and dreamy actor, by the way. He's dreamy.
Peaky Blinders, by the
right?
way. Back
Peaky
May
Blinders.
31st, if anybody
Everyone
cares.
Everyone, keep tuning in to Peaky Blinders.
Season
that's
3,
a real
May
show.
31st. It is. It's the best show ever.
No, back, no, we'll be doing our Peaky update with Petros Papadakis will be
best.
Coming on.
That's on TV, and people can see it, Ali, for reals.
People that see it love it.
Uh-huh.
Jamie Kennedy's 46 years old today as Octavia Spencer. She knows how to get away with murder, right? She's that one?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay.
Anne Heche is 47 years old. Mike Myers turns 53. And Sir Ian McKellen, Gandalf the White.
What a legend.
And the Grey. And Magneto. And one of the great Shakespearean actors of our time. Soon to be seen in a new movie called The Dresser with Anthony Hopkins.
Wow.
A tour de force for two such powerful actors. Have you ever saw the original film that's based on a Broadway play?
No.
It's about a bureau.
It's not a bureau, yes. Ian will play one of the drawers.
He is good.
And Anthony Hopkins plays the knobs, oddly enough.
In the news.
No, it's about an elderly actor and his longtime valet slash dresser who gets him dressed in costumes backstage before each performance, and the actor's starting to lose his mind, and these two have a very close relationship.
Interesting.
And the actor has hired him to surprise attack him at any moment.
It's a different shark. Very different thing.
Dresser, where are you?
I would like to see your version as well.
Too. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. We're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. This is Kevin and Bean's What's Good. If you have questions or comments, you have TV, sports questions, questions about the show, whatever you're passionate about and we're not talking about, the number's 1-800-520-1067. It's Kevin and Bean's What's Good, and it's next.
On to the next, indeed. 1-800-520-1067. It's time for What's Good. Hit it, Steve.
Like we always do it this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. On your mind, your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up, so we could be down. 1-800-520-1067. What's good?
What's good?
All right, got a good batch of calls here. This is your opportunity to get on the air and talk about anything that we're missing. Why don't we start with Dawn? She's in Orange. She's on line 3. Allie, I think this call is going to make you very happy.
Hey, Dawn.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. How are you guys?
We are good. What's good with you?
I wanted to plug this awesome independent movie called Sing Street.
Yes.
About this coming-of-age story about this boy who's trying to impress a girl, and he joins an 80s band during the 80s, and he just starts to write his own music, and it plugs in all, like, the old 80s alternative music, like The Cure and Duran Duran, and he starts making cheesy 80s alternative videos, and it's a really, really good movie.
It is so good. It's from the same guy, John Carney, that did Once, and it's
exactly.
Basically the Commitment shrunk down into high school kids in Ireland. It is so good, so heartwarming,
and
so
is
touching.
Where can we see it?
It's at movie theaters.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It is.
Everywhere.
It was in limited, and then it got really, really good reviews. It's only like 97% on Rotten Tomatoes. And so it started, and then it got bigger. So okay. It's really, really good.
Don, do you have the soundtrack too?
I haven't yet, but I want to.
Oh, do it. Do it, Don. It's the best. It is so happy-inducing. It is the best movie. Don, you're right. Everybody should see this.
I have heard that people who love the old K-rock music of the 80s are going to love this movie so much. But I have to ask you, Don, before you go, why were you so surprised that a guy in a movie set in the 80s joins an 80s band?
You're right. But no, the funny thing is that, I mean, he's actually a really, he's a musician in real life. I read all about him, about the boy who's actually in the movie.
Right.
Because I was impressed. I was like, who is this kid, you know? And so I went on and I read all about him, and Bono talks about the movie, and he talks about how...
Okay. All right. We're sold. Say no more. Good, we're sold.
All right.
When you get a yes, hang up. Thank you, Don.
Thanks, Don.
Great call. Let's go to line one, Simi Valley. This is going to be Trent. He wants to talk about something that's made some pretty big news this week, too.
Hey, Trent.
Hey, guys. Hey, yeah. So about 2 weeks ago in the game League of Legends, part of what's called eSports, you guys have talked about it a couple times now. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago, Team CLG, which stands for Counter Logic Gaming, actually went to the finals for the first time. An American team went to the finals and played against a Korean team. We got crushed.
But it was an honor. It was an honor just to be there?
It was the first time that the U.S. has actually done that good in esports on that big of a stage.
Yeah, this esports, I know, has been around for a long time, and I know that there are millions of people around the world who love to watch it. But, I mean, there was also something this week about Pac-12 schools that are going to start officially sanctioning teams. So, I mean, this is really getting legit for a lot of people right now, which must make you and your little friends so happy, Trent.
Me and my little friends.
I caught it too, Trent. That was a dig.
That's how Bean does it.
All right. Yeah. So, esports are good. Noted. Great call. But have you seen Sing Street?
That's a
good question.
All right, let's try. Let's go to Philip. He's in Anaheim. He's up next. He's on line four, talking about Kevin Bean's What's Good.
Hey, Philip.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
Hey, so do you guys watch Game of Thrones?
None of us.
I've been trying to, just because it's before Silicon Valley, but. I don't know what's happening. I don't know who's bad. I don't know when they're flashing back. I don't know why this hold the door guy, everyone's crying. I don't get
Allie,
it.
Allie, I don't think it's the kind of show this many seasons in
that you can catch up on. I'm realizing it.
Well, you can totally catch up. I mean, there's only 10 episodes a season. It is an hour an episode.
But there's like six seasons, though. And there are hundreds of characters, and they all look the same.
You'd have to take
There's
off a week.
99 characters. It's not quite 100.
All right.
What is it that you love about Game of Thrones? Because obviously it's one of HBO's biggest hits. Millions of people love it. What is it you love about it?
It grabs you emotionally. Like no joke. It's the character development, the stress. It's even got like a political standpoint. It's just...
Here's what I do know. I know that everybody that talks about it loves it, raves about it, and makes me wish I had time to, but mm-hmm. I don't.
Kevin, it does have nudity and violence, though, two of your favorite things.
Right. I like both.
But there's this girl, and she keeps fighting with the stick, like every episode. Why with the stick? What's with the stick?
Well, I think that's more of like for training purposes, for lack of a better word. I don't want to get more into it, because just in case you guys want to watch the show.
Right.
But she's basically just going through transformation, and she's getting better at what she's supposed to be doing, but also not really at the same time.
Okay. You do make it sound compelling.
You're bringing it to life.
So if I start now, 60 episodes from now, I can watch a girl play with a stick.
But she got her eyes back last episode.
There are plenty of websites on the internet that you can also watch girls play with sticks.
Okay. All right. Yes, there are, in fact. I have girlplaywithastick.com. So thank you for calling. This has been What's Good. What's Good? Actor Bill Hader joins us next hour, talking Angry Birds and other stuff. Also, Dodger legend Steve Garvey in minutes. But right now, you know, forget all that. Screw Bill Hader. Screw Steve Garvey. Forget all that. I'm excited about Doug Kriegel. The real Doug Kriegel, ladies and gentlemen, is on the phone. Of course, a longtime television reporter on KNBC Channel 4 for more than 30 years. We've loved him for so long. He's this guy.
Now, a report from NBC's Emmy Award-winning journalist, Doug Kriegel.
What do you think of that pizza?
It's a really awesome pizza.
That's good.
That was a report from NBC's Emmy Award-winning journalist, Doug Kriegel.
So we got a note from Doug Kriegel out of the blue this week, and we thought, hey, let's get Mr. Kriegel on and find out what he's been up to since he retired from Channel 4 back in 2009. Hey, Doug.
How you doing, fellas?
We are good. Doing great. It's so great to have you on for reals. How are you?
I'm fine.
it's about time you had me on live instead of just jive. You know what I mean?
Now, you said in your email, it was nice of you fellows to mention my state assembly campaign, which we'll get to in a second. I have enjoyed all the, quote, Doug Kriegel interviews throughout the years. Now, we've been dying to know. When we poke fun at people on this radio show, we know that sometimes the word will get back to the person. Were you told by people that you were being talked about on K-Rock throughout the years, Doug?
Every time you guys kind of made fun of me, I'd hear about it from my cameraman, the people I work with, crack up laughing. And I started listening to you guys, and I must say I really enjoy your show.
Thank you, Doug. It's amazing that you have that sense of humor. There were two things that always cracked us up. One is, for some reason, you could never breathe. You're always completely out of breath. And the other one, and maybe our favorite, is they would always send you out on the most bogus stories, like it's raining, how are you going to stay dry type stuff.
I know. They would sometimes say, is it raining yet? I go, no. Okay, back to you live. It's not raining.
But, Doug, you're a guy who has a tremendous backstory. You have two master's degrees. You've got a degree in journalism, I think, in economics. You covered politics. You covered all sorts of heady topics. Obviously, you're a smart guy with lots of experience. What was it like for you when they would send you out to do these reports?
Well, what could you do, really? You're sort of like a dog in that TV news. They throw a bone out there, and they expect you to go out and chase it. And really, that's sort of what it's all about. It's still always a fun job and always interesting. And there's so much going on in L.A. I never really minded it. I took it as it comes.
There had to be one day where they said, it's going to be hot. Go ask people how they're going to stay cool. And you said, come on.
I want all these Emmys. Stop it.
Never. Okay.
So, Doug, you retired in 2009, and honestly, I thought it was going to be a situation like with your longtime colleague Paul Moyer, where you just fell off the public radar and we'd never hear from you again. What have you been doing in the last few years since you left television?
Well, actually, I did a series on the local PBS show called The Drive-By Economist, and I got nominated for an Emmy for that, and that was pretty good. I had a good time with that. And that's about it. I've been doing that series on PBS. Then I decided to run for the assembly because, there's a lot of corruption in Sacramento. It's kind of like a black hole. People go up there and they're told, sit down, shut up, learn the system, and you'll prosper. And you know what? They do prosper. They move on from Sacramento to the city council to the supervisors, and they take that corruption with them. It's like a Zika virus, you know. It just infiltrates the system. So we need a clean-up Sacramento, and that's why I'm running. Check out my website, Doug Kriegel State Assembly. You'll see some of the ideas I have for cleaning up Sacramento and making California a better place.
So is your thought then, Doug, that people go up there not with the intention, not with the pure intention in their heart of making California a better state to live in, but they go up there to be personally enriched and basically start on a journey that's going to be a lifetime in politics?
Yes, that's right. That's one of the issues, of course. You have these career politicians, these guys who go to work for a politician, they learn the system, they raise money, they go up there, and they really do try to spend their whole life in politics. And it's not meant to be a career, a total lifetime career. It should be citizens trying to improve things, going up there and making it all better, and then coming back into the real world. The guy I'm running against, I don't think he's ever had a real job in the private sector, the way we all have.
Mm. Now, how long are you going to keep the office if you win it?
Well, it's
like a
week term. And
2 years.
Let's see what happens if they don't run me out. Do you know, when I was covering the legislature, they once voted me off the assembly floor.
Oh, dear.
You know what happened? I did a series on how lobbyists corrupt them, and the next week I went out there on the assembly floor, and I heard somebody say, I asked for an aye vote, ordering Doug Kriegel to get off the assembly floor.
Oh, my gosh. Because you exposed them.
I was in Burbank, and I said, what am I supposed to do? They just voted me off the assembly floor. And he said, screw him.
Okay.
and what did you do with that? Like,
and so I just stayed there. I kept my ground, and they just moved on to another measure.
You should have filibustered a whole new story. just for hours. Does that happen? Is
no,
that real?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Okay,
happens.
Sorry.
Hey, Doug, how – look, you have to live in Sacramento if you're in the Assembly, though, don't you?
Well, you know what? You go up there for 3 or 4 days a week and you come back. Actually, I lived in Sacramento for 10 years before I came to L.A., and, you know, we used to call it Sacra Tomato. Remember, Phil Jackson called it a cow town, but actually now Sacramento is really the capital of a country. California is the 8th largest economy in the world. It's really one of the safest, best places to invest from billionaires around the world. So Sacramento is now the capital of a very busy place, and it really is. California is thought of now as a country, I think, by people around the world, not just a
state. Do you have grander ambitions beyond the state assembly? Like, one day would you like to see Governor Kriegel?
President Kriegel?
Prime Minister Kriegel. Oh.
I think it'd be fun to be sheriff. That way, you know, you don't have to change clothes. You put on the same uniform every day. Put on your badge. Go to work, you know what I mean?
Plus guns.
That's an odd thing for somebody that's over 8 years old to say.
I think that's a great way to pick your job, though, is which one has the best uniform, Doug. I love it. All right, we're almost out of time. Do you miss the news at all, Doug?
You know, when there's a really big story going on, I feel like I'd like to be out there covering it. Mm-hmm. It's always very interesting and exciting to be right on the cutting edge where things are happening. But most of the time, I'd rather watch it than actually be on it. I've had, you know, 35 years of doing it is long enough. Now I'm ready to try something else.
Yeah, I understand that. I mean, but what a lifetime of memories. Just before we let you go, I mean, you know, being in Manhattan, we heard that famous story about how you were there on vacation. You ended up covering the 9/11 tragedy for Channel 4 for a month. You know, being there at the OJ house, the day of the bodies. I mean, you've done so much stuff. It's been a remarkable life, and it sounds like you're excited about this next chapter. So the website, again, if people want to follow your race to the state assembly, Doug.
That's Doug Kriegel, stateassembly.com.
Great stuff. Thank you for reaching out. We'll keep an eye on your race, and I hope it goes well for you, sir.
Hey, thanks a lot, fellas. I really love your show.
Thank you, Doug.
Kevin, you've known me for a long time. You know how nervous I get when we talk to baseball players.
Yep.
This is my personal Achilles heel, and one of the all-time greats is on the phone right now. How about this? How about being a bat boy for the Brooklyn Dodgers and then growing up and having a career that spans 19 years in the major leagues, most of those with the Dodgers, being a 10-time All-Star, winning a World Series championship, being one of the greats. Steve Garvey joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hey, Mr. Garvey, how are you, sir?
Hey, no need to be nervous. Just an old first baseman. You know?
It's a pleasure to...
It's great to be with you guys. But, you know, thanks for the introduction. Obviously, I was very blessed and played a long time. And, you know, God gave me a certain amount of skills, and I worked hard, and I got a chance to play in great teams in L.A. And take the Padres to the World Series. And, you know, it's just been a life of baseball. And again, I was blessed.
And I love that you're a guy who stayed in the game. I mean, worked as an ambassador for baseball, either officially or unofficially, even to this day. Look, you're on the phone today talking about the MLB All-Star Game and the Fan Fest coming up. So the game has been a part of your life since you were single digits, Steve.
Oh, absolutely. And you mentioned being a bat boy for the Brooklyn Dodgers. It was the end of March 1956. And, you know, my dad came home the night before. He was a Greyhound bus driver. And he said, you want to go with me tomorrow? I said, what? Skip school? He said, yeah. He said, yeah, I got a charter to pick up the Brooklyn Dodgers in Tampa, take them to St. Pete to play those dreaded Yankees, which the Dodgers had beaten the previous fall, won their first world championship. So the next day was my baptism. You know, I sat next to Pee Wee Reese and Gil Hodges and Carl Farrillo, and then Jackie Robinson literally sat on my lap, and he turned around and he, oh, I'm sorry, son. Oh, that's okay, Mr. Robinson. I'm thinking, oh, Monday, show and tell. Nobody's going to believe that.
Your dad rules.
Yeah, your dad's the best.
Absolutely. But, you know, and then for the next 6-7 years, they asked for my dad every spring training, and I got a chance to grow up with my idols, which is the ultimate, and to listen to these men. Of course, that was a transition from Brooklyn to Los Angeles, and then all of a sudden I got in high school and couldn't bat boy as much, but took those words that echoed in my mind about how to play the game and how to be a sportsman and how to, you know, be a representative stuck with me. And then lo and behold, 12 years after that first bat boy day, I was signed by the Dodgers, and the rest is history. And then, like you said, I get a chance to play in 10 All-Star games, and always thought that that was the ultimate honor.
Steve, what is it? How amazing is it to you that when you started with the Dodgers, Tommy Lasorda was with the team and Vin Scully was calling the games, and both of those guys are still doing the job?
Still alive and kicking at 88 and 89.
It's amazing, yeah. Isn't it?
I actually remember this Irish-looking redhead, very dapper, you know, had the Scotch-grained loafers on and had this neat voice, you know, and I didn't know who it was, and ultimately found out it was one of the announcers, you know, it was the Red Barber underling, and then all of a sudden I find out who he is, and then my first games were in L.A., and back when they had the transistor radios, and you could hear Vin's voice all throughout the stadium, it echoed, and one day I was a wild-arm third baseman, just throwing one away, which is tough to do with a Gold Glove, Wes Parker, and I heard him say, well, the youngster's struggling, and but he's working hard, and you know I think he's going to make it. So I'm going to keep working hard, and he was right, you know, put in those 19 years. But you know, that's what happens in life. Also, sometimes you need is the voice of somebody that you respect, and that gives you you know, renewed commitment and faith, and you go from there.
Yeah, you know, it's often said that, you know, in a team that has so many superstars and so many beloved figures, he may be the most popular Dodger of them all. And I don't think I could argue with that, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I believe so. You know, again, because he's been the one true voice of the last 60 guys, 3 years now. And he should have. If he would have ran for office, he probably would have gotten 90%.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of votes,
yeah.
because, you know, because you never knew who he was announcing for. He was that objective, and every night had a palette, and he took that palette and painted a verbal picture, and we all cherished it. So.
Absolutely. All right. One quick question before we get to all the details on the All-Star Fan Fest, which does look amazing again this year, and that is, you were the Iron Man of the National League. You had a streak of consecutive games that lasted, what, it was over 8 seasons, wasn't it, Steve?
Yeah, 7.5 years straight, going to the office, you know, just like you guys do every day.
Never missed a day, though. Now, they don't allow those kinds of streaks anymore. I feel like since you retired and Cal retired and stuff, it seems like the trend now is to let players rest, give them a day off a month or something like that. Do you wish you had that back in the day? Would you have appreciated that in a long season to have some bench time once in a while?
No, absolutely not. You know, I had a passion for what I did, and I felt I was obligated to the fans, you know. If a family drove from, say, Bakersfield, and they could go to one game a year, and they were fans of mine, and I'd set out because of a little headache or a little upset stomach, then I wouldn't be much of a professional. You know, I wouldn't be doing what I always profess to do, and that's go out there in the good days and the bad days and in slumps and whatever to entertain the fans. You know, it's under the category of entertainment. You know, this is sports. So if you go out there, you know, you should. And there were days I didn't feel good. I had some flu and migraine headaches, pulled hamstring and hyperextended elbow, but I could still contribute. And the adrenaline is an amazing element of our body that kind of gets you up and gets you going and sustains you. And then when it's over, you kind of drop all the way down again. But that's what happens when you have a passion for something you do.
You hear that, Kevin? He comes in even when he doesn't feel like it. Yeah. You copying what Mr. Garvey is saying
yeah,
here?
I admire him.
All right.
I can't get my Starbucks, and then I'm going to go around and find it before I get it.
There you go. That's fair. The All-Star Game, hopefully featuring lots of Dodgers, is going to be in San Diego this year down at Petco Park, which is one of the great parks in the nation. And you are here to announce the MLB All-Star Fan Fest that you are going to be a part of. What's this all about, Steve?
Well, you know, we always think that baseball is the best of all-star games. You know, you don't let up any, and you don't let the guys hit the ball. I mean, the game is played as the game is played throughout the season, and it's our national pastime, and we cherish it. And it means something now. The commissioner, Selig, a few years ago decided to make the winner of the game be rewarded by that league having the home field advantage. Sure, it does mean something, but it's 5 days of a wonderful celebration of the game, and especially the city that hosts it. Of course, we all know San Diego. We love San Diego. Petco's a fabulous park. But beginning on July 8th with FanFest, there'll be one activity after another in celebration. FanFest is a don't miss. It's probably going to be the largest interactive event in the world. A chance to do anything you wanted in baseball, a chance to see how a bat's made and a glove's made and announce a game and go on the field with the kids and all these kind of things. And then starting on Sunday, you've got the futures game. The best of the minor league players will be out there. And then the celebrity softball game. You'll see great celebrities and old players and everybody out there having fun, but in celebration of the game. And of course, Monday Yeah, Monday's captivating now. It's the workouts, but then it's the home run derby. And arguably people look forward to that as much as the game itself the next night, because you guys have power cells. And over the years, these great power hitters have gone out there and just dazzled us. And I was in the first one in Minneapolis in 1985.
Wow.
The PR guy from Minnesota came over and he said, Garb, will you and Dave Parker and let me get another guy, go against three guys in the American League, George Brett, come that. And I said, sure. So after the workouts, we went out. We all got 10 pitches. I hit two out. I think Parker hit three out. Everybody hit at least one. And people loved it. And that was the seed that was planted that eventually over the next few years turned into this big special on ESPN that everybody tunes in on Monday night.
Oh, it's yeah. funny it started that way, because it just sounds like somebody just went, hey, you want to try this? And you're like, right. Nah, well, I got nothing else to do.
Well, Dave Winfield actually started the idea of having people watch the workout on Monday. And that was in the first San Diego All-Star game back in 78, which I won the MVP, by the way. But
nice work.
He did it for his charity. He had people come in and just donate money. So people came there watching. They thought, hey, this is neat. And that started people watching the coming in and donating money to charity for the Monday game. And then look at it now. And it's going to be such a wonderful celebration. And if you're interested, go to allstargame.com. It'll give you the whole palette of and menu of what's going on. And it's going to be a great game. I mean, more than ever now. You know, it used to be a pitcher could maybe go two innings. Now every inning you've seen a guy throw a 93, 95, the best of the game against the best bats in the game. And that's why it's, you know, arguably the greatest all-star game of any of the sports.
Well, it's a lot of fun. Allstargame.com/FanFest. Tickets start, by the way, at just $35. Actually, $35 for adults, $30 for kids age 12 and under. And look at the stars that are going to be there that you can get photos with and autographs. I mean, you mentioned your friend Dave Winfield, but Chris Gwynn is going to be there, and Gaylord Perry is going to be there, Ozzie Smith, Orlando Cepeda, so many legends. What Ferguson Jenkins, what a great event. And, Steve, you're going to have a lot of fun down there, and I'm so glad we got a chance to have you on to talk about it, man.
Absolutely. I'm doing three evenings, 5th, 6th, and 7th at Chiquan Casino. It's called the Way We Were Tour, and I'm having Padre Legends on the 5th. On the 6th, we're working on Reggie Jackson, the 7th Pete Rose, and we do an hour and a half, 2 hours at their theater there and talk about the way we were and all-star games and all that. So I'm doing a little prelude to warm up the all-star facilities. And again, you know, anything we can do to bring attention to this great game, we try to do. And like you said, being an ambassador is an honor for me.
Yeah, SteveGarvey.com for details on that event, and on Twitter at SteveGarvey6. Great to have you on, man. Thanks so much for the time today. We enjoyed it.
Thank you. Great being with you. Have a great day.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:55.
We're going to be looking for you next hour, by the way. If you're the only person you've ever met who has your first name, your parents got creative with your names. Been a long time since we talked about that, so I'm looking forward to that. Plus, actor Bill Hader will join us. First, though, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, whichever it is.
Maybe your name's Anakin.
Anakin's a great example.
Or Darth.
See?
Or Obi-Wan. Maybe your name's C-3PO.
I bet there are kids out there with every single one of those names.
Yeah, my name's R2.
Now, why are we talking Star Wars?
Why are we talking Star Wars?
We are, actually.
Today's the day.
I thought May the 4th
Real
was
short
Star Wars.
Edit.
May the 4th was Star Wars Day. What's today?
So
I don't know. That's all I have.
They don't want to talk much about Star Wars.
I have like 27 seconds. I have to keep restarting it.
Because
I don't know why.
Today, on this day,
yes,
39 years ago,
yes,
on screens everywhere across these United States,
say it,
and Guam. All right, I'm going to restart the story.
Seconds.
Every time you restart
but
the
I only
thing,
have...
every time you restart the
All
theme,
right.
I'm going to restart the story.
I only have what I have.
Maybe your name is Anakin.
All right, we already did all that.
Or R2.
On this day, 1977, what happened?
Star Wars.
Star Wars on this day.
The very first time on this day.
Right.
Oh. Maybe your name is Anakin. All right. Or R2 or Darth.
Fast forward. All right, this day, 1977, what happened?
It was
Star Wars.
This day.
Yes.
back in 1977.
Say it.
Maybe your name's Anakin.
I can't.
Or Darth.
C-3PO.
Right.
On R2. This day, in 1977,
Star Wars premiered. It was on screen for the first time. A New Hope flickered across that silver screen and changed our lives forever.
Well, I mean, the 39th is the big anniversary.
Oh, see?
Oh, my God.
See, you have to ruin everything.
The poop on Star Wars, the beloved franchise.
You're a dick.
Oh, come on.
You're Jar Jar Binks is what you are.
Yeah, word. Where were you when you first saw Star Wars? Everybody remember? That's what the at Star Wars on Twitter is asking everyone today. What do you remember about your first Star Wars experience?
I don't remember where I was.
I remember exactly where
you
I
do?
Was.
Really?
I was at the Premier Twin Cinemas in the Chamonix Mall in Bensalem, Pennsylvania. And we had heard about this thing. We saw the ads for this thing. And my dad dropped us off in the station wagon. And we went inside and we came out changed. We were running through the mall going, waving imaginary lightsabers at scared old people in the mall.
What's happening?
We were running around yelling, Luke, let's blow this thing and go home.
It was more than just, hey, that movie was good. It was, oh my God, it's the greatest thing I've ever seen.
We've never seen anything like that before.
I'm going to tell you guys a story about Bean that will blow your mind if you don't know this particular stat. But Bean used to go and leave his house to go to movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he used to do things.
He saw the original Star Wars in a theater more than 100 times.
Bean, I'm so attracted to you right now.
In a theater.
Wow. That was
to the
gross.
Dark side.
Yeah, that was gross. You really did, Bean?
So I've been told.
Oh.
So
that's
I've
sad.
Been told.
Yeah. Well, what happens is he tells stories and then he forgets about them.
Yeah.
Right.
So we now don't know whether they're real or not.
Right?
Well, they were real. I think they were real. I just think he doesn't remember it
I
now.
I just don't remember them now, yeah.
But I remember that number sticking in my mind because I was like, there's no movie that I've gone to a movie theater to see more than 10 times as ridiculous to me.
Yeah. I wonder if it was the trilogy. It was 100 times.
Oh, see? I don't know. Already now he's backpedaling.
That
now
seems more likely to me than one movie.
The story you told was that it was the original 100.
He doesn't remember, Kevin. What are you? Don't take his word as gospel. Who knows less about Bean than Bean
I
does?
I remember the story that he told, and if I remember it, come on now.
But it could have been just a fever dream.
This is why you fail.
That's right, Minnie.
The point is, we all saw Star Wars and we all loved it. And it was this date back in 1977.
Maybe your name is Anakin. Darth. Obi-Wan. C-3PO. Or R2.
Nerds.
Speaking of nerds, Kevin Smith and I take the stage Friday night, 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose.
No.
Got a lot of nerd news we'll be talking about as well as all things showbiz. Come on out and see Hollywood Babylon. We have a good time.
No.
You can go to improv.com to get your tickets for this Friday night show.
No, I'd be against that.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Cillian Murphy's 40 years old today. He's
Peaky
dreamy,
Blinders.
Right? Scarecrow, also the Scarecrow.
Yes, mm-hmm. Scarecrow.
Mostly Peaky Blinders.
He's so good in that.
Did you ever see that Red Eye? Oh, that's a good movie.
That was him on a plane, right?
Yeah.
I don't
Kevin,
think I did.
Nothing?
I don't
yeah.
think I did.
Yeah. I saw it 100 times in
100.
Theaters, Kevin.
Yeah. Wow. That's ridiculous.
Jamie Kennedy's 46 years old today. Octavia Spencer is 46. Oscar winner from The Help, by the way.
Yeah, we were
not
wrong
the star
about
at
that.
All of, yeah. Of How to Get Away with
that's
Murder.
Viola
Davis, who was also in The Help,
yes.
Hence the confusion.
Very confusing.
Yes. They were both co-stars in that film, and I don't watch How to Kill Murderous People.
How to Get Away with Murder.
So
why does Viola Davis go by Octavia Spencer, though?
She
that
doesn't. Two different people.
She doesn't. She's just good friends with her.
It's just weird that she would have a real name and then a showbiz name.
She doesn't have a showbiz name. Octavia, that's a name you don't see very often.
Yeah,
that's
true.
That's kind
right.
of a unique name. Anne Heche is 47 years old. Don't forget, you can see her her butthole.
What?
In Psycho, in the remake Psycho. Don't
right.
forget that.
Kevin, have you seen Brown Eye?
No, that was a different movie.
I did. I've seen that a lot.
All right, Sailor. Mike Myers is 53.
And not in a theater. He saw, boner. He saw the stage show. He saw it live on Broadway. Mike Wires is 53. Oh, behave! Remember the good old days when everybody was doing that stuff?
Oh, yes, I do.
Do I make you horny, baby? Yeah.
Did you see this week?
My middle name is Danger.
That Jay Roach says there may be a fourth Austin Powers movie.
I will go.
I'll support it, too.
I will absolutely, go. If there's another Austin Powers movie, my ass will be in the theaters watching that.
We're not too far past that moment in time.
No!
Okay. You never went to any of them, did you?
Right.
Probably
it's
not.
They announced the Love Guru 2. It's very different.
Okay. How far back does your memory go? Like a year? Can we get Steve Garvey on? I hear that he's doing some publicity right now. Is there any chance we could talk to him?
There you are. A lot of vagina. Love that movie. And Ian McKellen, Sir Ian McKellen to you. 77 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We are 1 hour away from your tickets for the Life is Beautiful Festival in Las Vegas. This is a pretty good deal, by the way, on K-Rock all this week at 9, noon, 3 p.m., 6 p.m., and 9 p.m. We are giving you that trip to Las Vegas to see Mumford & Sons, also Jimmy Eat World, Jane's Addiction, The Lumineers, Major Lazer, Dirty Heads, The Shins. Plus, you are qualified if you win for the grand prize to the festival, including hotel and airfare. So your chance coming up in less than 1 hour from right now here on K-Rock.
Bean, do you remember when we first heard about the movie The Angry Birds? Because remember, you were saying, what a terrible idea. And I was saying, I think this will be really good. And you said, no, it won't. It'll be horrible.
He's not on the phone yet. You're not impressing Bill Hader because he's not on the phone yet. You were 100% with me that it was a terrible idea.
I don't remember that part.
And a completely needless film.
Seemed 100% like a great idea.
Well, apparently...
Again, he's not on the phone.
He's not on the phone, so you don't have to say that.
All right, then it looked like a terrible idea.
But isn't it something, though, that of a game that was immensely popular? Now, granted, I'm not taking anything away from Angry Birds because millions of people played it. I'm sure a lot of people listening right now loved Angry Birds. But it was like 5 years ago, right? Like, by time the movie came out, haven't we been through like 20 other games that people were obsessed with since Angry Birds? I'm so surprised that people still remembered and loved it so much.
Not just that, but how could you make a movie out of that?
I present for you the Lego Movie. What did they have to start with?
They destroyed two.
Right. They made a huge movie that was great. I mean, I guess if you get enough talented people together with ideas, they can take something and, you know, make it out of nothing. Because you're right. There wasn't a lot going on in Angry Birds to hang a movie on.
They sure hated those pigs.
Why are they so angry?
I know
guess
that.
We'll find out.
Why are they so angry? And, you know, I was surprised by that because traditionally birds and pigs are not feuding animals.
That's a good point, Bean.
Does that make you angry?
Well, it's just, look, this is what I'm saying. This is why you have to give credit to the Angry Birds writers, is because birds and pigs in real life are not enemies.
No, they get along. They're lovers.
They do. So how do you turn that into a movie that makes $40 million opening weekend? I'm very impressed with those people that wrote the movie. That's all. And very impressed with our next guest, who is always a thrill to catch up with, our friend Bill Hader, back on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show. He, of course, is one of the voices of the Angry Birds. Hey, Bill.
How's it going?
Hey, it's going great. We were waiting to get you on the line, and we were just talking about how remarkable it is that they were able to make a movie that people love with so little to start with just from the video game. I mean, that's some pretty creative people that were able to spin gold out of that.
Yeah, no, the team that made the movie were really smart. I remember when they called and said they're making an Angry Birds movie, I was like, oh, okay. And then actually when they pitched it to me and I met everybody, I went, wow, this is like really funny.
So when you said, oh, okay, that means good luck, and I don't necessarily see it.
Like, I never saw that as a movie. Okay.
Right, that's it, and, yeah.
Isn't that like a game that I play when I'm on a layover in a plane?
Right.
But the guys they had to do it, you know, I mean, were so talented and, you know, I heard their pitch, and, I mean, it was really funny and really smart.
Now, a guy like you, Bill, who has such a long history of doing so many funny things, were you nervous about being in a movie with comedy legend Sean Penn? I mean, you talk about a guy who can bring it.
Oh, is he funny?
I know, yeah. No, I actually didn't know he was in the movie until I was at the premiere, and I was like, why is Sean Penn at the premiere?
Really?
You know, like, he's in the movie, and I was like,
Josh Gad in the does the voice of the film. Danny McBride, Maya Rudolph, Kate McKinnon. A lot of your friends are there. Tony Hale, Key from Key and Peele, Peter Dinklage. I mean, it's crazy. Yeah. But I guess if you're an actor, I mean, these are your favorite kinds of jobs, right? In terms of how easy it is to do versus how much money you make.
No, I mean, I've done a lot of these animated movies, and for me at least, it's incredibly hard. Like when you're done with a session, like I'm shot for the day. I can't do anything because you're essentially screaming for 4 hours straight.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And you're just saying the same lines over and over again and trying to find different inflections on different things, you know, and then usually I'm doing a voice. So trying to hold the voice and make it sound consistent, you know, it's tough.
How long does it take to do a movie like Angry Birds?
I've been working on it for 2 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I got pitched it while we were shooting Trainwreck.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
And I did my first session while we were still shooting Trainwreck.
That's amazing.
Like Inside Out, I was recording stuff for Inside Out for 5 years.
Oh,
5 years.
It shows that we don't know anything about how animated movies are made, I guess.
Yeah, it takes a long time for these animated movies.
I would have guessed you put 45 minutes into this, Bill. That would have been my guess.
No. It's like a session. You know, you do a session here, a session there, but it's over a long span of time. But that's also just getting the story straight and getting everything worked out. And then the actual animation, I think, takes a couple of years. But
right.
With Pixar, at least, it was the story, you know, just figuring out that story. But, you know, Angry Birds is the same thing, you know. You do something, they go, okay, and then you come in for the next session, and they go, oh, remember the thing we recorded last time? Well, we threw that out. So here's the new version, you know.
We are talking to Bill Hader here on the Kevin DeMeade Show. Angry Birds, of course, is everywhere in theaters now. If you haven't seen it yet, your kids are going to make you see it, so just suck it up. Bill, what about...
It's actually really funny, I will say. It's actually, like... Parents really have enjoyed it.
Yes, and Kevin, as you so often say, those are gems, those movies that you can take your kids to that they'll love that you also will enjoy.
Yeah, there's stuff that you hate as a parent, but you do because you love your kid. But sometimes something like this comes along and you enjoy it as well.
Bill, how did it work for you to be the voice of BB-8 in the Star Wars movie? How did that happen?
Well, that was kind of more like K.J. Abrams just being a really nice guy, and he called me up and said, hey, do you want to do the voice of what's essentially the new R2-D2 in the Star Wars movie? And I said, sure. And I did a voice, and it just didn't work, you know? It was like I did a thing, and it didn't really work, and we all kind of agreed this isn't really working. And I was like, oh, cool. Well, at least I got to see the movie, like, you know, 6 months before it opened. and then he called me up, like, a month or two before the movie opened and said, we figured it out, and it's basically like a Peter Frampton like talk box attached to an iPad, and JJ operates this weird app on the iPad that makes little like like noises, and I talk through the tube like the Peter Frampton
that's cool,
you know, talk box thing. And so we just did that, but literally anybody can do that. It was just, I don't know, he was just like, you should come in and do this. I mean anybody can do that. So the credit really is to JJ and the sound guys in that movie.
But you have Star Wars on your resume forever. Do you understand that when the funny gigs dry up, Bill, you'll always be able to sell your autograph for $15 at a convention?
I know. I could go to a convention and sit at a booth and be like,
right. I mean, you have a bright future, son. That's what I'm telling you.
Yeah. I never thought about it until just now.
But it sounds like you're depressed.
It's a very sad moment that we just got.
I thought I was giving you a silver lining.
Pete was very excited about that.
I was so happy for you.
That's the best.
All right, before we go, Bill. Yes, I'm sorry. Were you saying something?
Oh, I just never thought about this.
Yeah, okay. Before we go, Angry Birds is in theaters now. Please go see it. It's very, very funny. But I have to ask, because you're the only Oklahoma City Thunder fan that we personally know, are you losing your mind this week?
Oh, I knew it was going to happen. I kind of knew this is exactly how it would go down.
Come on. Nobody goes into Golden State excited about it.
Oh, my gosh. I think that state's, like, about to explode. Yeah.
Yeah.
Insane. I mean, I don't know how many texts and emails from friends I've been getting ever going, are you watching this?
And, of course, you are. Do you think it's possible that Steph Curry is hurt, really hurt, and he's just not admitting it?
I don't know. I can't say. I mean, he had such an amazing year that I'm just kind of like, oh, I don't, you know, whatever. But I just like watching them, like, destroy them.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, he has been so neutralized. I mean, Oklahoma is just doing everything right. I mean, one game away to make it to the finals.
Happened?
It's amazing. All right, dude, we're going to let you go. We always love it when you jump on. Congratulations and Angry Birds, and hopefully we'll talk again soon, all right?
All right.
Thank you, Bill.
Bye.
Bye now. I don't mind creative baby names.
I feel like it's torturous for the kid.
But so is your policy then, Kevin, that there should never be any new names? We should only use names that people are already familiar with? Because otherwise, how would a new name ever get introduced? I mean, there was a time when...
I'm not really that interested in whether new names are introduced or not.
So you'd be fine with there never being another new name?
Yeah, I think I'd be all right with that.
Because
I feel like we have bigger problems than that.
Because everybody has to... Look, there was a time when Carl was a weird, oddball, out-of-the-blue name that nobody had ever heard of before. I mean, all names start somewhere.
What if your name was Asshore?
That's a great example. Thank you. I mean, look, as stupid as the name Apple is for a kid, it's now a name that people are familiar with and they understand and they're comfortable with. It doesn't seem weird anymore.
I don't think so. I think people will make fun of that kid.
Really?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Even now?
Yes.
Absolutely.
10 years on?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Because kids that are, what, 6, 7, 8 years old, they don't know the history of it. They didn't remember when it was created. They just know one of the other kids is named Apple.
Well, we thought it'd be fun to take some calls. We haven't done this in a long, long time with people who have names that nobody else has. Like, you're the only person who you ever run into who has your name. And I did a little bit of research on this, and I went to babycenter.com. And they track baby names. So this is the list from 2015. And they talk about how there are some names that are not very common, but you still run across them every once in a while. Like Fletcher, for instance, that Petros named his son. Fletcher's not a very common name, but people are familiar with it. Warren,
Pennywise,
Colby, yeah. those kinds of names are on the list. Then there are the trailblazing parents who want to be...
Trailblazing.
Right. They're people who are doing something first.
Right.
Some parents who take their names from movies, for instance. Like you name your kid Swayze or Orson. Armani is a name out of fashion. Drishti is a name out of yoga. I don't want to be named Drishti.
Right. I'm saying stop that.
Some parents look to literature with names like D'Artagnan and Atlas. Others evoke godly figures like Apollo and Messiah. By the way, that's a tough handle being named Messiah.
Seriously,
right?
A lot to live up to.
You gotta get your ass kicked.
And then there's a list of the names that are even more obscure than those. And here are, just before we go to the calls, here are a couple of the names from 2015. I'll give you a couple of girls' names first and then a couple of boys' names, for instance. There's a girl named Fruity.
Nope.
Fruooti.
Nope.
See, I'm saying that's bad. It's bad parenting.
Fruity is the name. Greenlee is another name. G-R-E-E-N-L-E-E.
You like
Greenlee.
That.
Absolutely. Mm. That's
what is that? What does that even mean, Greenlee?
Greenlee.
That's a good point.
Right. You said that, but what does it mean?
How do you argue with that logic?
There's a little girl named Kizzy, K-I-Z-Z-Y. Now, is that the kind of made-up name that one day is going to be so common that we won't even notice it anymore?
I don't know, but I know that that kid is going to be beaten up during school.
A couple of boys' names. Braxton, B-R-A-X-T-E-N.
I know a lot of Braxtons.
Most years are O-N's, though, aren't they?
I don't think I've thought about the spelling, but it's a very Utah name.
It's a very Utah
name. Yeah, Utahns have some incredibly weird names that they come up with.
Here's a couple. One for you, Kevin, because this is your favorite fish. Kale is a name.
Oh, I do love kale.
Oh, you love that
K-A-E-L, though. Not even spelled like kale. K-A-E-L is a name that a boy got.
Stop that. Not only are you giving him the name Kale, you're not spelling it right.
And my favorite on the boys' list from last year is there's a little boy out there right now who's about a year old named Miggy.
Oh, that's cute.
Miggy, M-I-G-G-Y, that's his name. So these are kids who 15 years from now are going to be on the phone calling Kevin and Bean when we're doing our annual segment about weird names that nobody else has. Let's take a couple real quick at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with, let's start with Attila. He's in Camarillo.
All right.
On line two. Attila.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. What's that like?
It's interesting.
And by interesting, you mean?
At least 3-4 times a day.
I'm sorry, what happens 3-4 times a day?
I get a Attila to hunt at least 3-4 times a day.
Sure. Is your family from Hungary?
Yeah, I was actually born and raised there.
And oh, okay.
It doesn't really help that my last name is spelled K-U-N instead of H-U-N.
Oh, wow. You've got everything going for you. Let me ask you this. In Budapest, is Attila the Hun some sort of national hero? Because no matter what country you're in, I feel like he's a bad guy, and it's kind of like naming your kid Adolf, isn't it?
I mean, you know, raping and pillaging was sort of par for the course back then.
Right, but I'm just saying, why give a little kid the name of a famous raper and pillager?
I don't know. I wasn't, you know.
You wasn't there when they named you?
It wasn't your fault. All right, last question, Attila. How old are you now?
I'm 34.
Okay, so that was actually my second to last question, because here's my last question. If you had a choice in the matter, would you have preferred to have a John or a Richard or a Dave or something like that would not cause so much commotion?
No, not really, because in Hungary, Attila is like a John or Richard or anything like that.
Right, but you're not living in Hungary.
No, when I moved here at 14, it was an interesting name, and it was different, so it actually was kind of fun.
Okay. And, so you like it now? You dig it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
The weirder part was living in the South for a few years with the last name Kuhn.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I, mm-hmm. yeah. Boy, yeah. Your parents really stacked the deck against you, son. Yeah. All right, Attila, thank you for the call. We're taking yours now at 1-800-520-1067. You have a unique name. We want to hear about it next on K-Rock. Talking unusual names this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Slade writes in on the Kevin and Bean Twitter account. Slade, by the way, I have never met anyone with my name. I have met people who say they know someone else with the name, but I've never met one. That's my real name. It's on my driver's license. How about Slade, Kevin? You like that?
Not acceptable.
There's a Real Housewives guy named Slade.
For reals?
Okay.
Yeah.
Ren,
sad I know that.
Ren tells me that Kizzy, which we were talking about, is not a made-up name. It's actually a biblical name, the third daughter of Job. I didn't know that. Matthew writes in, hey guys, I can't call in. I'm at work, but my girlfriend's name is Itziyadet. Itziyadet. It is spelled Itziayadeth. I can honestly say I have never seen anyone else with that name. Itziyadet. That sounds tough. That sounds like a tough name to live with, doesn't it?
Yeah, no kidding.
All right, where do you want to start? We got some great ones on the hold here.
Let's start with Jihadi.
Okay.
Is it Jihadi?
Yeah, this is Jihadi. Yeah, but it's pronounced Joti. See, that's why I have everyone call me.
Oh,
that is it's rough.
Is it spelled Ghoti?
It's Jhoti.
Okay, so I would say Jihadi.
Yeah.
Exactly. As does everybody.
So what's that like?
It's awful. And I don't know. Other people seem to like it more than I do. But since everyone always makes fun of it, I just go by Jody.
What does you
Jody.
Go with J-O-D? Why?
J-O-D-I.
Die. Yeah, okay, fine.
Because it's nice and easy that way. But whatever. It's still on my birth certificate and everything. You know, I haven't changed it legally. So anyways, my mom was super into yoga when she named me back in the 70s. And I guess she took one too many yoga classes. So it's like a Sanskrit name or something like that.
Well, you could have been named Downward Dog. I guess
it was just going to say it.
Would have been worse.
So
but
true.
All right, Jihadi, thank you for calling. We appreciate
it's
it.
Jody. Yeah.
Let's talk to Shimona. She's on line five.
Ma, Shimona.
I bet she hears that a lot. Hey, Shimona, welcome to the Kevin Beach Show. What's the story behind your name?
Hi, my parents actually just pretty much made it up. I think they really like that song.
Really?
Sharona.
Why didn't they just name you Sharona then? That's a great name.
I know. I think they just wanted to put their own twist on it or make it a bit more unique. So,
do you go by a nickname or Shimona?
Oh, there's a ton of nicknames. Shimmy, Shim, Sharu. All sorts of stuff. Yeah.
How do you like it? I asked Attila this a few minutes ago. If you had a do-over, would you rather have a more normal name?
Yeah, I know when I was younger, I really hated it. Like, I wanted a normal Sarah you know, mm-hmm. normal name, but it's kind of grown on me. I think now I like it.
Okay. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that very much. All right. Let's talk to Nirvana. He or she is on line 7 calling from Whittier on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Nirvana.
Hi.
Hi.
Are you How's a stripper? That going?
Are you a stripper?
No.
Okay. Just checking.
What can you tell us about being named Nirvana? What's that like for you?
No one ever, ever, ever thinks my name is real. They always want to see my ID, like, when I get, like, carded to go to bars and stuff, like, they're like, really, this is your name. It's not a fake ID. I'm like, no, I swear.
Who would get a fake ID and make the name Nirvana?
I don't know.
You want to fly under the radar if you have a fake ID.
Exactly.
You want to stand out. Is this about the band, I assume?
My dad, yeah. I was born in 92, so my dad thought it would be cool. I'm their first kid to, like, be named Nirvana. And my mom just like, oh, yeah, the name, the meaning is amazing. Let's just do it. And
yeah, it means heaven, right, or something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah. And so I have two younger sisters, and they have, like, kind of normal names.
All right, hold on. Let us guess.
Mother Love Bone.
Pearl Jam. Alice in Chains. Are we close?
Close. My dad wanted to name my middle sister Halen, but they ended up with Felicia, which is, like, so random.
That is random. So your dad is just
messed up.
You know, he's just really into rock and roll. You're like
yeah,
named Ozzy or something.
Total music junkie. So
I think Nirvana is a lovely name, by the way, you guys.
Oh, he'll allow it, Nirvana.
He will allow that lovely name.
Now, do you like it, Nirvana, despite the fact that it causes you trouble? Do you like it?
I love it, but I just like, you know, always get like, I have teachers that call me like Kurt. And
oh yeah,
you know, like very little creative. Things like Metallica instead of calling me Nirvana. Yeah, but I think it's funny. I named my dog Francis Bean, which I thought was cool.
Wow, and it continues.
I love it. All right, Nirvana, glad you called. Thanks so much. Let's go to line 8. I want to say hello to my new friend January.
Hey, January.
Hi.
That's an awesome name, by the way.
Thank you.
Take it easy, Bean.
Tell us about it. Who gets named after a month?
Moon change.
No, but I mean, I know. Look, there are lots of girls out there named April. There are lots of girls named May. There are lots of girls named June. There are very few Januarys.
Tell us about January.
That my parents, my mom was a fan of one of those 70s writers.
Okay, Kevin, when you kill it, let her talk. I'm sorry. Your dad was a fan of whom?
My mom was a fan of one of those 70 writers.
I'll just wait. I'll just wait until Kevin amuses himself. Don't throw a tantrum, Bean. So you like the name January.
I want to hear the story. I just want to hear the story.
Such a baby.
I just can't hear the story. All right, so she's a fan of who? All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
She liked the writer who wrote Valley of the Dolls. This is a lesser-known novel called Once Is Not Enough, and the main character is named January.
Okay. And now, was it easier for you when January Jones became famous as an actress on Mad Men? Did that make it better for you with your name?
A little bit, yeah.
So,
but
no.
She's not the first January I've known.
Oh, okay. All right. Glad you called. Thank you very much. I apologize for my friend Kevin.
That's me.
All right. We already got time for a couple.
January.
We already got time for a couple more, Kevin. Who do you want to squeeze in?
Well, I want to talk to Annalisa about naming her son.
Okay.
Annalisa. I love the name Annalisa, too.
Hi there.
Hi.
Sorry?
Hey, did we call you or did you call us?
And by she, I meant he.
No,
oh, it's a woman.
Okay, all right.
Give me a break.
I feel like we got off on the wrong foot here, Annalisa.
All right, let's try again.
Okay.
Hey, Annalisa.
So, yeah. Hey, how are you?
We're very good. How are you?
Excellent, thank you.
Tell us what you named your son, because I feel like this may be a mistake.
No, okay. So we named our son Cheslov, and it's
Cheslov?
Cheslov. Yes, C-Z-E-S-L-A-W, but it's supposed to be pronounced Cheswoff.
Why?
Yeah, well, we named him after, and keep up with me here,
it's not probable.
Czesław Milosz. Okay.
Oh, he's a Polish poet.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Annalisa.
He won the Nobel Prize in 1980 for literature.
Mm-hmm. And that's what he explains to another 6-year-old before he takes one right in the face?
Well, he told me that.
Oh, I wouldn't have hit you if I'd have known that.
Wait, before you kick my ass, you have to understand that it's a Polish bullet.
Come on, you guys, Nobel Prize, right?
You want a Nobel Prize? Boom!
Annalisa, no, what are you doing?
Come on!
Well, does it help that our second son is named Harry?
Well, I mean, it's better for your second son, sure.
Yeah, it does show that you do have a learning curve, at least. Poor Sesla.
Or whatever.
Or whatever. All right. You are awesome. Thank you for the call. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53. Heard from Kevin and Bean listener Ether this morning talking about her name. Ralph, here's one for you. My real name is Arrow.
Arrow.
Arrow. How's that for a name? Oh, Kevin, so even cool. You got to support Arrow.
I do love Arrow.
Arrow. Right?
But as a name? I don't know.
His parents are proud Native Americans, he says. Nobody ever believes my name till I show them my ID, particularly the police. They always think I am messing with them. We heard from Essence this morning. Junior writes in, my neighbor's stupid kid is named Absid. Yep, Absid. A-B-C-D is how it's spelled.
See, I'm saying stop that. You stop doing that. Don't name your kid A-B-C-D.
But Arrow, though.
This week I was introduced to a young man named Farade. Farade.
Farade. Farade.
Yeah, apparently his mother was in the hospital and looked up on the wall and saw the first aid kit on the wall.
Nope.
And took the words first aid and mashed them into Farade.
No.
Are you making that up?
I'm not making it up. It's a thing. There's a certificate. Farade.
That is awesome.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
Win your trip to Las Vegas to see the Life is Beautiful Festival coming up in moments. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday.
How many Shias do you know?
I know a couple of Shias.
Do you really?
Yeah. I do.
Besides the famous
crowd.
One?
I do.
You don't know a couple of Shias.
I do.
You don't. One's name is Sheila, and the other name is Steve. Actual cannibal Shia LaBeouf. You just think it's Shia.
No, it's Shia.
Are these little kids, Kevin, or full-ass adults?
Full-round-ass adults.
I haven't checked the asses. Kids.
Well, see, kids. So they're stealing.
Yeah, they're so Shia LaBeouf was famous, and they said, oh, that's a good name. Let's name our little rugrat that.
Yeah. Actual Cannibal Shia LaBeouf. Well, Cannibal Shia LaBeouf's at it again. More performance art.
Yes.
His new project.
Last time it was the elevator, right?
He stayed in an elevator and just hung out with people that got in the elevator.
Just did nothing but...
And he sat in a theater in New York and watched his own movies for 24 hours with people. Remember that.
Let's not forget the first and best one where he apologized by sitting there silently while you came in and you could berate him.
Right. A bag on his head or something?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I can't wait. What's next?
His new project? Hashtag take me anywhere.
This won't end well.
Shia LaBeouf is on the road. He will randomly tweet the GPS coordinates of where he is.
I saw a whole bunch of GPS coordinates, and I couldn't figure out what he was doing.
He's inviting people to come and get him, pick him up wherever he is, and then drive him anywhere in the country.
Make your dreams come true! Just do it!
There's a video online of the first people to pick him up. There were three dudes who found the coordinates and went to get him, and sure enough, they found him there in Colorado, in the mountains, and they picked him up, and they all had lunch together. And after that, they seemed to have no real plan of action whatsoever. But
so is this just modern-day hitchhiking? Is that all he's doing?
More or less.
But it's not with a destination in mind.
It's an exploration, Bean, of man's nature.
Is he crazy?
It's meant to examine goodness versus the corrupt nature of man.
Is he crazy or a genius?
Do you remember what happened with that robot when it got to Philly?
Yeah, I hope he gets to Philly. Philly Shia Buck goes right to Philly.
Philly will take care of Shia.
Yeah.
They killed him.
Get his ass beat.
Just try destroy that robot.
Philadelphia. We don't cotton to nonsense.
Every other city, he was fine.
He was a trash can with playtex gloves on.
He
was a trash can with playtex gloves on.
Right, but nobody else felt the need to kill him other than
Philadelphia. BS. That's some BS right there.
What was his name?
Thank God.
Hitchbot.
Hitchbot.
Thank God Philly stood up for what was right and said, F this nonsense.
Took Hitchbot right out.
Here you go.
You come in peace, you leave in pieces.
What?
Boom! Hitch pot.
What? Last word he ever said.
Philadelphia, period. I've been saying that my whole life. I'll be saying it till the day I die. Philadelphia.
That's my ass. I'll be back there in 2 weeks. I can't wait. Oh, get me a whiz wit. Roll around in it.
Beat up some people.
Beat up some robots. I am Hitchbot. No, you're not. You're a waste paper basket with gloves on.
Philadelphia, hello.
Anyway, you can find him. He's going to tweet out his GPS coordinates periodically at hashtag take me anywhere. And then you pick him up, and then looks like you buy him lunch. That's, as far as I can tell, that's what happens.
Is he just out of lunch money?
According to his last tweet, he seems to be somewhere on the border of Colorado and Wyoming. So keep an eye out if you're in that part of the country for Shia LaBeouf. Here's the thing that really chaps my ass. It's commissioned.
What is that?
By the Boulder Museum of Contemporary Art and the Finnish Institute in London.
So they're paying him to
yes!
do
this? Yes!
What?
Now we've lost all sense. See what happened with your little travel bot or whatever the hell that was? See what started? Nothing
Hitch
good.
Bot?
Nothing good comes from it. And sad news. Sorry to hear that Bert Kwok has passed away. Very talented comedian, character actor, best known for his work as Inspector Jacques Clouseau's manservant, Keto. Keto. This is not the time for this, Keto. Now is the time for this. Then he was karate chopping him right in the neck. Oh, it was a good time. He played his valet manservant who would hop out at him at a moment's notice just to keep Inspector Clouseau sharp. He would attack him with kung fu, and they would battle it out, and it was always very entertaining. Did seven Pink Panther films together with Peter Sellers. Also appeared.
He's the man who invented Booyah!
No, he is not at all. Oh. He also showed up in James Bond films like Goldfinger and You Only Live Twice. On television, The Avengers, Doctor Who. Had quite the
wow.
career. Passed away at the age of 85. This week.
It makes my stomach turn to look at him.
I don't know about that, Alex. Today's celebrity birthdays. Romaine Reigns. Is 31 years old. Not 71. That'd be awesome if he was 71. I'm not a big wrestling guy. I don't follow the wrestling.
Oh, Allie is so about him.
Allie just,
won't stop
raving about how much
he
loves Romaine Reigns.
He's my favorite, and I can't wait until Money in the Bank when he finally gets taken down
right?
by Seth Rollins.
Right, when
Do
Money
it.
In the Bank comes in. Another wrestler named Money in the Bank?
No, that's the event happening in June.
I see.
Right.
I don't like Roman Reigns. Let
Roman
me make that
Reigns.
Very clear.
Not Romaine Reigns. That's a salad.
Favorite.
My bad. He's 31. Killian Murphy's 40. Jamie Kennedy's 46, as is Octavia Spencer. And Heche. He's 47 years old. Mike Myers turns 53. Ian McKellen is 77 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the ship as beat.
106.7.
Oh, that was...
K-Rock is K-R-O-Q.
Good.
Thanks.
Yeah, I think that was the right one right there.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
well,
I feel like Ralph was right on.
So stick around.
Shoot. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Hey, one more look at the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday morning Kevin and Bean show. What's new? What's happening?
Bean's in a
What's
rush.
In a rush.
Always about this time.
How am I in a rush?
What do you got going on, buddy?
Nothing. I'm just promoting that Ralph is here and it's time for another look at the showbiz beat. That's
okay,
all.
Okay, because we're all having a conversation here when you kind of jumped in with that. We're just wondering maybe... Maybe if the lambs need a shearing.
Hey, let's get to it.
Do the lambs need a shearing?
No.
Oh.
I got to tell you, Bean has been getting more and more impatient so that during every song, he's like, come on, let's get this going.
Yeah,
and
yes.
we're like, you know, it's really the middle of the song and we're going to let the song end. I don't know what's up with him.
But we've heard those songs enough.
Right. Okay. Be patient.
We've got important things to say and do.
Not really.
We have nothing important to say or do.
Not the case at all. Just stuff. Although this is pretty cool. I guess it's kind of important. Bill Cosby will go to trial on aggravated sexual assault charges.
Love it.
That's aggravated sexual assault charges. That was the decision of Judge Elizabeth McHugh. He told Cosby, based on the evidence, I am going to hold you on charges. Then wished him good luck, which I don't really understand, but I guess he's just being impartial.
Good
You're
luck.
A scumbag, but I wish you luck. In defending your scumbagitude.
That's weird.
The outline of the case is like this. Former Temple University employee
Andrick Stan went to Cosby's house in 2004. She alleges that Cosby gave her three pills that made her dizzy, blurry-eyed, and nauseated, left her legs feeling like jelly, she said in her statement to police in 2005. Then she said Cosby touched her sexually without her consent while her body was, in her words, frozen. In 2005, Cosby testified about the incident. He claimed the encounter was consensual.
Now, what's the statute of limitations? That's not... I feel like there shouldn't be one for this type of crime,
but... I'm not sure, but it is within.
Okay.
Yeah, that's different from state to state, and I think maybe Pennsylvania, it's like 10 years or something like that, and they filed this within the deadline.
Excellent.
So the trial will take place in Pennsylvania's Court of Common Pleas in Montgomery County outside Philly. And if he is convicted on each of the three charges that he has been have been levied against him, that carries a sentence of 5 to 10 years in prison. So potentially he could do 30 years behind bars if found guilty. There's no current date on when the trial will begin, but I'm sure it'll probably be a while if Cosby's legal team has anything to do about it. They'll drag
I've never down. Seen anything like this. Mm. And reality is...
What?
The situation.
I didn't realize that.
That's a good point.
All right, we're talking about legal news. Fox News host Bill O'Reilly is reportedly planning to sue his ex-wife for $10 million.
For
he claims that
what?
She misled him on the terms of their separation agreement. And she also used the money she obtained from their agreement to finance an existing extramarital relationship. Is she paying a dude for the wang bone?
Isn't that legal?
I think if she gets the money, she can do what she likes.
That's what I'm asking.
It,
how
I
do
would
you
assume? And really, if your option is to sleep with Bill O'Reilly or anyone else, that's money well spent.
Agreed.
He seems like an awful man.
Yeah, on every level, like deep evil, like hurt the mom of your kids in front of them, kind of bad.
Right. I mean, he dragged her down the stairs in front of the kids. That was part of the. Problem. That's an issue.
Mm. It's only a problem for her, Allie.
Good point.
A problem for him.
Not for the kids that witnessed it.
Kids, maybe.
Yeah.
More legal news. One of the stars of Fear the Walking Dead got into an altercation with a security guard.
Uh-oh. I haven't heard about this. I'm pinching needles, waiting to find out which one it was.
His name is Frank Delane. One of the stars of Fear the Walking Dead. He got into a scuffle on the CBS lot last Sunday night.
Do you know who he plays?
He plays Nick Clark.
Oh, yeah, he's Nick.
Nick is the...
Yep, you're right, son. You know how Nick I knew that? Because I said he played Nick Clark.
That's the son that was on drugs, right?
That's right, yeah.
Oh, he plays Nick Clark.
Uh-huh.
I know
he's
him
on,
now.
That guy's Nick.
He's on Fear the Walking Dead, Ralph.
Oh, right,
Fear
the guy from Dead. Fear the Walking Dead.
Is he in the news at all?
He tried to skate through a security checkpoint and became erratic when staffers stopped him, and he struck one of the employees, according to police.
He's been through a lot with the zombie invasion and being out on that boat for all that time. Come on.
That's on the show, Bean.
Oh.
Not only that, Allie, but that's on the show. It's not in real life.
And he beat drugs, for God's sake. Shouldn't we be encouraging him rather than coming down on him?
And he plays Nick.
On what?
On Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah. Fear the Walking Dead.
Anything happen on the CBS lot?
Nope.
Okay.
Sad news. Bert Kwok has passed away.
He is a dick.
He is not. Nope. He is a fine. He was a fine man and a talented and charismatic actor.
I mean, the guy is literally such a predator. I mean, he looks like a serial killer.
He was born in England but raised in Shanghai, appeared in James Bond movies like Goldfinger and You Only Live Twice, also numerous TV shows in England, but best known for his work as Inspector Clouseau's manservant, Kato. Kato, where are you, Kato? And Inspector Clouseau charged his valet to jump out at him at any time to keep him constantly in a state of awareness, and so he would jump out and attack him, and they would have elaborate kung fu fights that were always hilarious in the Pink Panther film franchise.
Did you guys hear that guy died?
No, I hadn't heard that.
Yeah.
Kato. Ralph, do you, in your opinion, did those movies hold up?
100%.
Contemporary viewing, yes.
100,000 billion percent.
Okay.
I watched Return the other day, as a matter of fact. Before I got this sad news, it was doubly sad for me. But I had just watched Return of the Pink Panther again. And that's from like 1975 or something. And it is still hilarious. Peter Sellers is just a freaking genius. And that is now and forever. Kevin, you would like this, Kevin.
I've seen it.
You haven't seen it.
I have. I've seen the Pink Panther movie.
I'm sure you haven't.
Okay.
I'm sure you think you do, but I'm sure you haven't.
I don't know how to argue that.
Because they're from like the 70s and stuff. I'm sure you haven't seen them.
Okay.
But you would enjoy them because what running into a pane of glass does for you with Paul Blart.
Right.
This movie does well
and
hysterically funny.
Yeah, I've seen it.
No,
remember when the hotel clerk and do you have a massage? When he was saying message and he's like, I don't give massages. It's really
Do you
funny.
Have a room?
It's so funny.
What? A room. I don't know what a room is. A room in your hotel. Oh, Zuma. Yes, Zuma, room. Does your dog bite?
You're talking about a movie that
has... No, my dog does not bite. I thought you said your dog does not bite. That's not my dog. Come on!
Kevin, it's the best!
I've seen it! You should see those movies.
You should totally see it.
You really should check them out.
Oh,
I will.
So good.
Excellent.
The Pink Fruit Mountain.
Oh, that's what he was thinking of.
The Pink Panther, Kevin.
So confusing. Pig's Feet Don't Lie?
Different film.
Seven Sundays in May.
No! We're talking about the Pink Panther films.
8 Minutes from Death.
Shot in the Dark. Pink Panther Returns.
Sounds very confusing.
Curse of the Pink Panther.
Trail of the Pink Panther.
Trail. Yeah.
Come on, Kevin.
Kevin, watch those movies.
I've seen them.
You should totally check them out.
The case is solved. Today's celebrity birthday is Ian McKellen, 77 years old today. Actor Mike Myers turns 53. Oh, behave! Do I make you horny? Shagadelic, man, yeah.
Yeah. And you're saying you're in if they do
another
Austin Powers 4?
Hell yes.
Really?
Hell yes.
So you would be in if they were doing another Austin Powers?
No way. Anne Heche is 47 years old. Octavia Spencer turns 46, as does Jamie Kennedy. Cillian Murphy's 40. Roman Reigns of the WWE is 31 years old today. And I feel bad because I was not aware of this all day long. I just found out Dave, the K-Mexico, who makes our list here for the celebrity birthdays that left this gentleman off, but our friend Bobby Slayton.
Oh, no kidding.
Canadian Bobby Slayton celebrates his birthday.
Not my fault.
If Bobby was playing for the Clippers, his name would have been
on the
list. But a guy who's been on our show dozens of times and is a close friend of the Kevin and Bean Show, Bobby Slayton, not on the list until just now. But Bobby Slayton celebrates his birthday. Of course, just recently lost his wife as well. So our thoughts go out to Bobby and his daughter. And happy birthday, Bob. As happy as it can be. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home today, listen to the commercial-free 5 p.m. hour. That is a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning, we have Jim Rome. We'll talk sports like we do on Thursdays. We have Dr. Drew. I think that's about it.
No, I believe you're getting another very special guest in the 8 o'clock
maybe.
Hour.
That's it.
No, I think we're good.
Who
I think
else?
That's about
Kevin.
It.
Who else is on the show tomorrow?
Anybody else on the
Only
show tomorrow?
The greatest human ever. Say it.
Peter Sellers on tomorrow morning's Kevin and Beach.
The case is solved.
Weird Al, you guys. Weird Al's going to be back on the program tomorrow.
Pete's going to be in so
Does your dog bite?